Well, that's a number one bestiality podcast. There ain't no number two. Well, that's a number one bestiality podcast. It's great for me and you. It's Danish and O'Neill.
This is what you have to do to win big tournament competitions. Look better than the other guy, make it look dangerous, deadly, and they love it.
Yeah, buddy. I wait. That butter peanut.
All right.
Yeah, there it is right there. Make it look deadly. Make it look dangerous. And they love it.
Yep. And hey, thanks to Blue Chew for sponsoring the Danish and O'Neill podcast.
Yeah. It's visit bluechew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the promo code DNDO. Spell out A-N-D-D-A-N-D-O. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BLUECHEW.com. Promo code DNO.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll hear more about that. Later.
In a few.
Yeah.
Well, it is a sunny day in Hollywood, California.
First daytime recording in a long time.
I know. It's we're mixing it up. Like to keep it fresh.
Yeah, you got to sometimes switch things up. Keep the show current. Keep the show going.
Speaking of fresh, I just finished the, literally minutes before you got here, finished the, I think we're alone now, the Tiffany Stalker documentary.
Thank you to Clark for sending that in.
Clark Griswold?
Yeah, Clark W. Griswold. What'd you think of it?
It was fucking great. I mean, it's such a good look at how psycho fans can be and fame. I mean, it's like if you're Tiffany, at some point you might just be like, I want to tap out of this fucking industry.
Yeah, it's Tiffany, if you're younger, she was like an 80s pop star. Kind of had like a couple quick hits, I think.
She was like, if Britney Spears was only huge for like 2-3 years,
yeah,
that's what the equivalent, because she was everywhere for 3 years and then totally fell off the map.
Yeah, a meteoric rise and then fell off the map. The documentary is about two different stalkers. One guy has Asperger's. That guy is tremendous. He says he's her best friend.
He's also, yeah, I mean,
she kissed me on the cheek. I love how he talks. He's so bizarre. He dresses very bizarre too.
His
particular.
The great thing about it, does having Asperger's make you a pathological liar?
Oh, he is a huge liar.
He lied about everything.
Yeah, he's delusional too. When he put on the bike helmet that he said allows him to hear other people's thoughts, I was like, this guy is unbelievable.
Well, then they so this guy's name's Jeff.
It's a tough pill to swallow.
But then they showed his friend, and his friend seemed completely normal. And I was like, why is this friend hanging out with this dude?
The guy who said he knew him from high school.
And he's like, yo, he's super positive, and he's great influence. Yeah. And he seemed like a dude who I thought maybe this guy has a wife and kids, a regular job. And then about halfway through the documentary, you find out that this guy's into the Illuminati shit.
Yeah, he's like, Jeff knows a lot.
He's proven to me that he has inside info and contacts.
That's why they're friends.
With like a global superpower.
So when he's not spending all his time on Tiffany, the other half of his time is spent on researching the Illuminati.
And big spoiler alert, at the end of the movie, sorry, if just pause or skip over this part.
This is a bigger spoiler alert than Endgame.
Yeah, he's not stalking Tiffany anymore. He's stalking Alyssa Milano.
Yeah, he's moved on. He said he realizes he can't marry Tiffany. She's already married, and she doesn't think it's going to end. The other guy, girl, I should say.
Yeah, she's a hermaphrodite.
Raised as a boy, now living as a woman.
Yeah.
Almost at times like Kip from Napoleon Dynamite.
A little bit. If Kip had a major head injury.
When she said, I'm a great sprinter. I'm going to show you my running ability. She ran like 20 yards. Not that fast. It was like heavily out of breath.
There were so many cringe moments because towards the end of the... Because these two people, one lives in Denver, one lives in Santa Cruz.
They cross paths.
Yeah, they meet in Vegas. It's the most cringeworthy interactions I've ever seen.
The Asperger's guy is like, are you a man or a woman? He's like, I'm a woman. He's like, I think of you as a man, so I'm just going to say you're a man. And the guy's like, what?
And then she starts talking about sports, and he stops and goes, I have no interest in sports whatsoever.
The hermaphrodite loves sports.
Yeah.
Jerry Rice is on the Denver Broncos. That's pretty awesome. And the guy's like, I don't follow sports at all, so I don't care.
He was very blunt.
Then they meet Tiffany, and whenever Asperger's guys meets her, he like forces a kiss on her. So
on
creepily,
the cheek, yeah.
So creepy, and she kind of, you see her recoil because she knows who he is.
Dude, I mean, he just saw her like a few months earlier when he fucking basically ambushed her at that porn convention where he goes, it's just great for like-minded people to get together and share experience.
Well, then he goes to his church and he's like, I went to the adult convention and there were spiritual people there and the reverend guy's just like, oh, that's great.
He finally interrupted because the guy will continue to talk.
Yeah, if you give him an inch, he's going to talk for 4 hours.
He went to a live Tiffany concert in Santa Cruz on the beach.
He was the first guy.
He's talking
to the guys who's fucking raking the sand. And he's like, Tiffany and I are best friends. The guys are ignoring him.
He finally
him,
walked away.
Ignoring him completely. And he's still talking to nobody.
He was a great, like, whatever story you have, I'm going to lie 10 times worse. Like, the girl's like, you know, I first saw her, changed my life. He's like, she totally changed my life. She's my best friend and my mentor and my protector. Like, everything somebody would say, he would top it with some outrageous fucking lie.
He reminded me a lot of, like, 10 guys that used to open mic at the Comedy Store when we did. It's complete lies, complete delusions.
That guy, if he found the Comedy Store, God forbid if he ever does.
He'll be there every fucking minute.
Every weekend, I was dead.
He'll be there at 8 a.m. talking to the guys doing the cleaning. You know, oh, I love, I know Theo Vaughn. He's a great guy. He's my best friend.
It would be some insane thing like that. I mean, I pray to God that he never does stumble upon it.
I love when the hermaphrodite finally meets Tiffany. He's never met her. He's supposed to go to like a concert in Denver, and he brings like a photocopy ID because he lost his ID. She was so beside herself. It's hard to keep it straight. She went to the liquor store, got like a cheap fucking plastic bottle
of
vodka.
She got like a bunch of
Jaeger.
Things.
Yeah. Bottle of Jaeger.
And she's like, I'm so depressed. I thought I was going to meet Tiffany, and I can't.
Then, when she said she had a head injury, I was like, oh, this is starting to add up more.
Yeah,
because like the way she talked was so weird.
It's weird because yes, you could tell that she was affected, but I don't know if did the head injury also cause the stalker affliction.
I don't know. It's hard because you don't know before. This is all you see.
She got it when she was 13, so there's no way to figure out how she would.
She was delusional as well. It was like I was the most popular person in my school, and I was like, I don't know. I mean, I can't prove that, but it seems a little far-fetched.
I have a relative that's out of his fucking mind who's schizophrenic, and they claim that he wrecked his bike when he was 12 and he was never the same after that. But also, that can be an age where mental illness starts to rear its head. So it's hard to say whether the bike injury... I mean, this guy, though, the person in the documentary, the woman slash man, she was in a coma for
like 10 days or something like two weeks. I like when they show Jeff, the Asperger guy's stepfather, who just hates his guts.
He's like a hard-nosed military guy.
Hated him, like openly hated him. His dad was military, died in action, and then this guy was like his platoon mate, I think, and married his mom, and hates his guts.
Oh, despised him.
Yeah, he's like, he's got problems. I don't know.
The guy, and his stepdad also builds model trains.
He fucked one up.
I can only imagine the beating he got for that.
He banned him from being in that room ever again.
Simultaneously, it was super depressing and it was laugh
sad.
Out loud hilarious.
It was sad, but it was also
the
amazing.
End was just like so sad and pathetic. I was like,
the guy Jeff has like news clippings of like, oh, it says my full name here, but then the article's like major stalker.
It shows him how he had a restraining order. 3 years he couldn't be anywhere near her.
He
loved it.
Showed up at a government building with a samurai sword to give her because that was a high honor for samurais. And they are like, it took the sword. They're like, what the fuck are you doing?
Also, when he goes to that adult convention, the adult entertainment convention. Yeah. He stops by another porn star and says, I got you three unopened copies of a Playboy that you were in. Yeah, I want to give them all to you.
The woman's like, oh, okay.
So this guy's stalking. It's not just Tiffany. He's got a lot of fetishes going on.
I liked when they met Tiffany both when they were together, that security kind of, all right, guys, like, let's keep it moving.
Dude,
like,
I was shocked she didn't have more security because he, as soon as she walked into the lobby, he grabbed her and kissed her. And there was nobody there to stop it.
Yeah, he like went right, like beeline to her.
She was great though. She handled it well. She goes, I got to get going. I'm running late. And he goes, I told everyone you're running late. You're fashionably late.
She's like, you know me. I'm always like being like, please don't kill me. I like, so when the hermaphrodite meets her in Vegas, gets all done up, hasn't slept for 24 hours.
Also, clearly was on drugs or something.
Sharing a room with the Asperger's guy.
Because he didn't have any money.
Took a bus, I believe, to Vegas from Denver. So they're together, and then the Asperger's got, because I think the hermaphrodite's like in love with her, right?
They're sexually? Both in love with her.
Yeah, so she...
Wait, no, the hermaphrodite says, like, I know that if she'll be with me, and I know that my life will be complete when her and I are in, like, a romantic relationship. And she knows that that Tiffany wants it.
So she finally meets Tiffany and is, like, on cloud nine, and they're in the room after, and she's like... Oh my God, I kissed Tiffany. I can't believe it. And the guy, Jeff's like, yeah, I remember the first time I kissed Tiffany.
I laughed so hard.
And the guy goes, what you just did was so hurtful. Like, fucking back off. Like, I'm so pissed. And the guy, Jeff's like, okay, yeah, okay. Because he did one up it, like, yeah, I remember being like what you are. Like, you know, we're best friends, so I get it, but. And he got so pissed off.
I love when he is in that same scene when she's like, I don't want to sound redundant, but this was like the greatest experience of my life. He's like, you're not sounding redundant. No, that's a profound thing to say. Like, you're a great person.
And he would say, yeah, like, I understand. Like, when they met, I thought, I was like, this, the best ending is if they fuck.
I thought.
That's what I thought. But then he's like,
you know, the director is like, fingers crossed, please let him fuck.
The Asperger's guy's like, I'm not into like that sort of thing. Like, basically, I'm not into hermaphrodites.
Yeah.
But like, what, they have so much in common.
They have everything in common. Like, they're the perfect fucking
they're both
couple.
Stalking Tiffany.
Except the chick only likes chicks.
Yeah.
And then she found a best friend at the end that looks just like Tiffany.
The best friend seemed bizarrely kind of normal.
Cutish and almost identical to Tiffany.
I was shocked.
I know.
That this, I was like, what is this? She's like, she's funny. She was so
ready. She was doing Hans and Franz impressions.
She was very wacky, the hermaphrodite.
Dude, she goes, I met the girl that met the hermaphrodite, the other woman said, I met her in the waiting room of a doctor. And I
could
go,
be a psychiatrist.
Yeah, that's what I probably is.
Yeah, she is. I would think you, if you're like, I'm going to be this person's best friend, you have some major fucking issues.
It seemed like everybody we thought was normal that was friends with these lunatics then turned out to be completely insane.
I like the one guy who's like, I'm friends with Jeff. I also have Asperger's, but like was a little more aware of like it can lead to kind of some crazy behavior.
Extreme Asperger's. I mean, right before you get to the cusp of full-blown autism, all have the same cadence.
Yes.
All have the same cadence.
He had a Rain Man-like knowledge of Tiffany concerts. Like, that was in 1985 at the Oakland Coliseum. Yeah. People were like, what the fuck? The one girl was great. He was like the leader of the fan club and was basically like, he's crazy. I met him one time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He thinks they're soulmates. I don't know what his deal is.
And you know that chick is super extreme already. Yeah. And then she's like, this guy. It's like when you have like some group that's like super extreme, and then you have that subgroup that's like terrorist level extreme.
You could tell when he talked about her having a husband, how much he hated.
He admitted, he goes, look at the jealousy on his face. They had a picture of Tiffany, the husband, and him. He goes, look at his face. Look at the jealousy on it. Cause,
oh, those are jealous eyes. You're like, oh shit, this guy's nuts.
Dude, it made me so worried for Tiffany's safety, because then after the end of that concert where he got there at 8 a.m. on the beach.
And he's just, at every show she does, he's just like front and center, like front row, just staring at her like so fucking crazy.
But I think the most disturbing thing is there were a lot of other dudes his age that were there.
How about the one guy who was like had like neck tats, like a Superman's man?
Yeah, he's. I was like, oh, this guy could probably get a lot of chicks.
He's like, I love Tiffany. I love the music. Always have. He was, I was like, this guy's nuts, too.
He's like, I've seen her 100 times. And,
I was like, what the fuck? Is this like a. I know no one.
He said when he was a teenager, he had to go see the back. Or, Backstreet Boys?
No, New Kids,
oh,
on,
New
the
Kids
block.
On the Block. New Kids on the Block, because Tiffany was opening.
I left right after Tiffany to be like, I'm a man.
Yeah.
Okay, like, dude.
Tiffany's she's an attractive lady. I looked up her Playboy stuff.
Yeah, she's aged
some big
well.
Old beefers.
Yeah, yeah, that's a feature on her.
But fuck, does she have balls to go into these rooms
small,
basically unarmed.
Small events, too.
Yeah. I wonder if it's true that she does martial arts. I could see that being a thing after these super stalkers.
Yeah, but it's even if she, I mean, the good news is neither of them are, I mean, weapons withstanding, or neither of those guys are going to beat you hand to hand, I don't think. Even a woman.
Yeah, no, I mean,
maybe the Jeff guy, he was like, it looked a little bigger. The hermaphrodite, I don't think, is going to give you much problems.
I love when the Jeff guy describes his three sexual encounters. What was like 1985,
they were
89, and 92?
Very spaced out, very few and far between.
He said one woman didn't want to be there, which made me think that maybe this was a sexual assault. I don't know.
Or she was hired by like his family.
True. You know, the guy that directed that created that trip tank on Comedy Central later.
Okay. I like Jeff's apartment, how like hoarderish it was, and he like cleaned it up.
Did he clean that thing up? I mean, it was like next level hoarder.
Yeah, it was a lot of shit in
there. But then he cleaned it up. It looked immaculate. Do you think he did it, or do you think the apartment building, because you can't tell because the guy lying all the time.
Yeah, it's true.
Do you think the apartment was like, we're getting rats, there's cockroaches, we're coming and cleaning this shit up, or you're getting tossed out?
Yeah, because he said, like, I just spent a week straight, or whatever it was.
And he got a new mattress. So he something was going, leads me to tell, like, he might have a social worker that comes in.
Both of them were on government aid. They both said they received.
Surprisingly,
they don't
yeah.
work. He was going through his newspaper. He's like, I don't know why I have like four. He would like four of the same magazine that had her in it. And then he would have just an insane Alyssa Milano. I hope you're
dude,
watching out for this guy.
If you're Tiffany and you know these people exist, because there was a guy that was stalking Tiffany and he brought like a 357 to her concert. Her security found him, dragged him out. That guy later killed an actress that he was obsessed with. So if you're the balls that you would have to be, and by the way, this goes for everybody. I mean, there's this level of stalker on every celebrity.
No, we've met, comedians that aren't huge, but like have had people bugging them.
Charles Fleischer had a woman that was stalking.
Charles Fleischer, you don't know, is the voice of Roger Rabbit.
A stand-up comedian.
Yeah, and he was an older gentleman. This lady would come into the store when we worked there the era. She had big fucking thick glasses. And she'd be, is Charles here?
She called me every day. She goes, I'm calling to see if Charles is on the lineup. I'd like to reserve tickets. And I was like, lady, just come in. Everyone knows who the fuck you are.
Some of the female comic right now at the store has had a problem with somebody and they give her an alias. But to me, it's like, it's so hard to hide just because all you have to do
you
is
go
in.
You have to go out and perform.
All you have to do is go to the Comedy Store. You find out what her alias is. Then you look at the lineup.
Well, everybody knows now.
Yeah, it's not
I've seen it even on Instagram.
No,
people.
And even
like
I think Theo Vaughn, I want to say, like was like, it's so stupid. And then said like, so-and-so is this name. Like he's like, everyone knows it's not a secret.
But I think it was at first to throw off. There was an individual who was coming, like sitting front row every night to watch her and like giving her shit.
I'm sure even Rogan has people who like kind of bleed into.
Absolutely.
Little crazy.
The good news is that he can handle himself unless you get a guy's like 6'8"
or you know weapons.
700 pounds.
That's what I always worry about at the comedy is that no one's.
If you're huge, there is definitely that possibility. You get a like Rogan. I could see having a serious stalker.
I'm sure,
or an anti-Rogan, like someone who thinks that they're being targeted.
Who, what, was it Nick Cage? He woke up to a naked guy, like, at the foot of his bed?
Somebody had it. Oh, Keanu Reeves, twice. A woman was showering in his house and woke up, and there was a woman in his bedroom.
I thought somebody woke up with a guy at the foot of their bed, like, naked, which would be so fucking
I'm sure there did.
When you're sleeping.
Letterman had it. Bam Margera had a girl who was, like, make it out with him.
I forget who. Somebody had somebody going through their trash. I'm sure
that happens a lot.
No, I mean, every now and then you see like so-and-so battling and stuff. Like it happens all the time.
It's easy to find out where everyone lives, by the way. Like anybody, even like lower level people, you could just type in someone's name. You can find out anybody's address.
With the internet, the stalking game, I think, has become like social media, and you can figure out where people are a lot easier, I think, than back in the day.
I see why Sarah Silverman lives in that big, highly secure apartment building.
Give the address.
But that makes sense, because I'd be worried if I had a house and I were a big name, I'd be very worried about somebody climbing over my fence and fucking... Even Will Ferrell's house, isn't that... well protected?
No, it's not. It wouldn't be crazy to try to get in there.
I think, and then you have kids, and I mean, granted, it rarely happens. But when you watch stuff like this, you're like, you see how on the cusp it is happening.
When they're just so single-mindedly obsessed, it's like, and nothing that you do can, like, it's like I'm married. That doesn't deter. Like nothing deters them.
No.
Like it's just like, oh, that's fine. It's just another obstacle. Like it's meant to be, and it's like, no, it's. It's just so crazily, it's like that sort of delusion is what makes people make it in show business, but it's a fine line of like being crazy, like you can go like 1%, you can go over into the line of fucking you're just nuts.
The crazy thing is like if you walked into your house and there was some hot girl showering, you're like, oh, you would think on the surface this would be, wow, this is phenomenal. But when you see the craziness, have you met like a... very attractive girl, and there's like an insanity in her eye, and you're like, I gotta get the fuck out of here.
At the comedy store, like once every month at least.
I met a girl last night who was, and I was joking with her, and then she followed me off stage and she started talking to me, and she was so fucking out of her goddamn mind.
Was she blonde?
Yeah.
Did she have a hat?
No.
Because like when I was there Wednesday, this lady was fucking nuts. Like I don't even know if she realized she was like in a show. She was crazy. She said she was allergic to cocaine. She said she was...
Is that a bit?
No. She's like, I'm allergic to living in LA, but like serious. Like, nah, these weren't jokes. I was like, you're fucking nuts.
This girl was like kind of... Something was a little off on her, and she was giving like kind of side notes like quietly to herself, but I could hear it because there was only like 10 people in there. And so... And then off stage, she followed me, and she's like, I come here a lot, and I take notes for all the comedians. I have all these notes because... I'm not like a comedian, but I'm very funny in the moment. And
keep those notes
and
she to
goes,
yourself.
And she goes, I also have like a note for you. And I go, you could keep it. And by the way, I would keep all those notes to yourself because nobody gives a fuck about
make
those
a scrapbook.
Notes.
I was there.
I told her, I go, write a book, put all your notes in there.
I was there Wednesday night. I was talking to Jason Tebow in the back hallway. And these two ladies, probably late 20s, I don't know. One is legitimately stumbling. I think they had been ejected from whatever room they were in.
And always a good sign.
Stumbles up to us, and she's like, hey, what's your guys' deal? And
I'm like, always a good icebreaker.
And I'm like, hey. I am instantly like, I want nothing. We're both like, we want nothing to do with this. And she's like, oh, L.A. Oh, like we're in L.A. I guess it got thrown out. And we're like, okay. Ugh.
Where is this acceptable?
I said, like, where are you from? And she's like, Florida. And I was like, okay. Was like,
I don't even think it's that acceptable in Florida.
No, I don't think it's acceptable.
I feel like they have a lower tolerance even in Florida.
And then the friend just all of a sudden cuts in. I forget what even the context was. She's like, if I want a drink, I just take a drink out of somebody's hand.
Oh, good quality
and I was like,
people.
Okay. And then they're like, what's your guys' deal? You're not saying much. And we're just like, get the fuck, like we're giving you every cue. Leave, get away from us.
The problem is when you've been doing this as long as that we have, I can no longer mask my disgust with the inappropriate behavior. I usually just shut down or just fucking in the middle, I just walk away. Cause I was like, why? I do not have to subject myself to this.
I gave the middle walk away. And cause one of them
left. Like, oh, what are you too good? No, I was like, you're just a fucking asshole.
One of them left. And I was like, I was like, sorry to T. I was like, sorry, dude, I couldn't take it. I had to bail. I just couldn't handle it. It was driving me crazy.
Teeb was humoring him.
Well, like one beeline, the drunk one beelined it for Tony Hinchcliffe. And then,
this is my time to get out.
And so he was one on one, like they were talking. And so I was like, this is my time to tap. Like I did my job. I talked to that crazy woman for longer than I wanted. They were escort us into another room. We're like, no, you got thrown out.
Were they cute?
Not really, no.
Not cute enough to have that attitude.
Yeah, I was like, takes drinks. She's like, yeah. I was like, that's aggressive. And she's like, no. And I was like, yeah, you're stealing something from somebody.
The problem is that I just ignore it and walk away, and people are like, oh, what are you, a dick? You're such a dick. I was like, no, why? I don't have to engage with you. You're fucking obnoxious.
It's the good and bad of the comedy store is that.
But then all
the comics are accessible, yeah. But it's for the good and bad for the comedians.
But 90% of the people that
are great
have listened are unbelievable. Are actually
And these people
good,
weren't
good people.
These people weren't listeners. They had no idea.
No, I know. But like that's when you get the riffraff that just flows out of there because they just throw you almost out in the hallway and let you find another room to go into.
Yeah, or they're like, "Where's Chris D'Elia?" Like, and you're like, "All right."
I could see D'Elia having a lot of fucking weirdos coming.
Yeah, I could see that as well. Anyone who has a ton of, if you have a huge social media following.
But it's great. I've seen him sniff people out where he's like, oh, that's great. Hey, I got to go. Okay, take it easy.
That's the good thing there is you can always keep it moving. If you want to, you can always keep it moving.
Yeah. But no, also that is a scary, I don't know, watching that was like hilarious, disturbing, and sad, but mostly hilarious.
Yeah. If you guys want to check that out, it's Dassey levels of enjoyment for me at least.
For sure, yeah. It's on YouTube. I don't know. I remember seeing a snippet of it on HBO.
Yeah,
I
was
think
it HBO?
Netflix.
Seems familiar from
somewhere.
Doesn't
it? Yeah. Either there was we saw clips of it. There was something going on. I remember. I remember watching parts of it. Other parts I have no recollection of. But it's on YouTube. Just I think it's called I Think We're Alone Now documentary.
I'd love to talk to the filmmaker to be like, just like, what are your thoughts on it? You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah. He's working now. He also created that Jeff and Some Aliens show on Comedy Central.
Loves his name, Jeff.
He probably did model it after that guy, now that I think about it. By the way, speaking of our sponsor,
yeah,
Blue Chew.
We're both on Blue Chew right now.
Trying to up our game on the podcast.
Which, if you don't know what Blue Chew is, it's you put it in your mouth, you chew
chewable.
It up. You chew it up. It's right there in the name. It's blue as well. It's not a fancy name.
Yeah, basically, it's the first ever chewable that brings your performance to another level.
Gets you rock hard.
It's and by performance, I mean sexual performance.
Hell yeah. If you like sex, you're going to like BlueChew.com.
Yep.
They offer men a performance enhancement for the bedroom.
Or if you're not into fucking in the bedroom.
Yeah. Could be in a car. Could be on the beach.
It's like a Dr. Seuss book.
Could be in a pool on
a train.
I'll
take Blue Chew on a train.
In a closet. Wherever you're.
While I'm in Spain.
Don't think that you have to limit this.
I'll take it on cocaine. I don't know. By the way, I don't know if that. I don't know if you can.
Well, we may or may not. We may want to redact that. But, you can take it anywhere. Who wouldn't want to last longer and go extra rounds? Some guys are tapping out. You get a little older, you're like, hey, I can only go one round. All 12 rounds.
It's got the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis.
Yeah.
Only it's chewable and it works up to twice as fast as the pills.
Yeah, you want to take a pill and just sit there looking at your watch, twiddling your thumbs. You want to chew this down. It's almost like Popeye takes the spinach. And that bicep immediately pops up.
It's a boner sep.
Yeah, so that boner immediately pops up in your pants.
Also,
you're ready to kick some ass.
It's a chewable, so you can take it on a full or empty stomach. So you don't have to go to eat a bunch of pasta and then get ready to fuck, because it's going to fuck up your game.
Yeah, or if you are into that, it doesn't matter either. So
you can do both.
Yeah, it's the best of both worlds.
That's a good point.
Online physician consults free, so it's cheaper than the other two we mentioned, Viagra and Cialis. Takes only a few minutes to connect with the BlueChew.com affiliated physician. If you qualify, you get prescribed online quickly. So you don't have to go to some waiting room with a bunch of other guys in trench coats.
Yeah, and there's no in-person doctor visits, so there's no awkward conversations about how your boner don't work no more.
You don't have to go to CVS or like, do we have that Viagra? Yelling stuff about you.
Can we get a price check on Cialis?
They're going to ship directly to your door, discreet packaging. Your neighbors are like, oh, what do you got? Did he buy a new kazoo? Did he buy a harmonica? What's in that package? They're not even going to... They have no idea that you got a dick pill that's going to really get you going.
Yeah. You and your
chewables,
partner.
I should say.
Yeah. You and your partner are going to fucking love it.
And by the way, these are prescribed online by a doctor, and they're made in the USA. So you can support the U.S. You can chant USA have a flag waving while you put this blue chew in your mouth. You could do, and then maybe some red and white foods to wash it down.
And it's cheaper than pills.
Yeah. It gives you confidence in bed every time. Who doesn't need more confidence in bed? Sometimes I'm a little insecure. I would need, right now I'm feeling confident with the blue chew in my system.
So visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the promo code D&O. That's spelled out. It's D&O. D&O.
Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com. Promo code D&O. Chew it and do it.
Yeah.
That's, I like that. Chew it and do it.
That's actually a super good fucking.
Makes me horny.
It's one of the best slogans I've seen in advertising. Chew it and do it.
Made me horny just reading that right now.
I would say I would also go with suck on it and fuck on it.
That's not a bad one.
If you're looking, Blue Chew, I'm just throwing that out there. That one's for free.
If you're listening, hey, we're decent. We can work. I got us.
How about this? Chew it and screw it.
Chew and screw.
Chew and screw. That is actually even better.
Yeah.
Hey, Blue Chew, if you're listening, which you probably are, chew and screw. Suck and fuck.
Speaking of listening, I've been told we may have some spies listening to the show.
Oh, yes, yeah, it turns out.
Either narcs or the man himself.
So, as you know, I have an alias on Facebook.
Yes.
I'm a doctor, a podiatrist.
Yep.
A Korean podiatrist.
Who was adopted.
Yeah, I don't want to give the name. I don't want to blow my spot up. But most people know, if you've been a fan of this show or Boner City, you know what I'm talking about.
If you don't, hey, just go back and listen again. You may find it.
By the way, the people that know that are on there are hilarious because I infiltrated Eric Heights' Facebook page.
Yeah.
And people were commenting, playing along with it. They were fans of the show. There are a lot of people that have infiltrated the Heights that he doesn't know about yet.
Heights, and I have a feeling you listen. If you are listening, you can maybe you can sniff a few out.
Yeah.
You can't sniff it all out.
By the way, his excuse train is an ungodly length now because he continues on. I don't even know if he's ridden yet.
I don't think he has.
He's been there for a week and he's got like, oh, my trailer broke. Now I can't fit all my stuff in. It's been raining. Now I got a problem with my bike. It's un-fucking believable.
I had somebody email me and they said, do you think he's the ultimate troll? And I said, I could see it. I just don't think he's smart enough to pull that off.
I wish this is Andy Kaufman level if it is.
But I don't think it is.
No, I think he's.
If it is, he plays a hell of a character and he should probably be acting.
I think he loves the attention that he gets when he, like, what he loves is that he'll say, I had this problem. And people are like, fuck you, you fucking liar. And then people come to his defense and be like, we love you. We believe in you.
It's like, the guy who's like, I'm leaving the party. And he just wants his friend.
Yeah.
Like, no one wants them to be like, okay, we'll see you. They go, oh, please, stay. We love you. We need you. You're great.
As
he
slowly heads out the door. And he's like, no, guys, I'm really leaving.
I'm going to do it. I got my keys.
Well, I'm outside. And then he comes back in and he's like, oh, I'll stay a little longer.
Eventually, even the most diehard of his fans are gonna, you would think, wisen up, but I don't know.
I don't think any, by the way, his Patreon has two people on it. There's two people that support him, so it's not going anywhere. So I was on there commenting on his really being sympathetic, also, bizarre. Talking about my hardships being Korean American adopted by Filipino American parents and having one being a veterinarian and everybody calling my dad a horse doctor instead of a real doctor. So I don't know if it raised any red flags, but people that weren't members of the D&O were actually supporting, being like, you hang in there, it's cool.
You almost took some attention away is maybe why you got thrown out.
Could have been. So I had posted 3 or 4 times on all of his recent stuff, said I was a new fan, said I just saw his story on my YouTube feed and I could totally relate. And then all of a sudden I was blocked. I was banned. I was kicked out.
Did you hear this audio when you were blocked?
No, I shouldn't go on Davidson O'Neill. And just by saying that, Lucas, that puts you in a special group that I get to block you. So bye-bye.
So bye-bye.
By the way, on my profile, I took off all my affiliations with Danish and O'Neill and stuff. I hope. I thought I did. But what he also said, so when he started making all these excuses, the next morning after I had been commenting and supporting him, the next morning I woke up and it looked like he goes, all my mods now are clearing out all the trolls in here. So I think whatever these mods, I don't even know what that stands for. And maybe that's a known term, but I have no idea what he's fucking talking about.
The plus size models that travel with them now. They're all 700 pounds.
So they booted me, whatever.
Well, you can boot one. You can't boot them all.
So I was thinking about creating another profile, going back in. It's too, dude, I got addicted to it because it was just too good because every post is so fucking pathetic.
Well, and he posts a lot. It's not, yeah. You know, it's a lot of action. He likes that hot sex action.
It was also great because he was talking about camping and I talked about how my parents never let me go camping, but I know I would love it. And when I got older, I once went camping and hated it, but it was only because my parents didn't want to take me camping when I was younger. It just went on and on. And I thought it was being sympathetic to him. Maybe it was too much. I don't know. There's that fine line.
Speaking of fine lines, the club behind my house, they had their big Wednesday night open mic. I captured some audio. I don't know the quality of it. We'll see right now.
Okay. What you need is a boom mic to put out the window, that like a 30-foot boom mic that you could literally hold over the yard.
So I have two clips where I'm outside. It's a windy night, so you'll hear some wind. And then the third clip, I'm inside, but that could be the best clip of all, but it may be a little dim, so you may want to turn up.
You should take the zoom and just like put it on a broomstick and slowly put it over the wall.
So here we go. Here's the first clip from the club behind my house. This is a man singing. It's their big open mic night, Wednesday night.
This guy's doing a cover. That's loud as fuck. So that's there's a little that. STP going.
There's that. I love when he does the oh.
This is loud. Oh, this is very loud.
Oh, it's very. It's like a concert. Yeah, it's
you mic. Can't have concerts in your backyard
in a suburban area. This is it's so bizarre.
And also like in the LA suburban area where it's like houses are inches away from other houses.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's fucking compact
on a Wednesday night outdoor. I don't get where they think this is appropriate.
How many people were in the backyard? Good turnout?
I can't see because there's a lot of trees covering and like they block the stage from behind, so I can't see it.
Oh, they do block the stage.
Yeah.
So it's facing the house. The stage is facing.
Yeah, and they just built, they had before a tarp, and now it's a wood, they have like a wooden backing. So
it's a little amphitheater.
Here's clip two. We hear that guy just singing. He gets off stage. You'll hear how many people are in the crowd. It's a smattering of applause. Here it is. stay tuned for the guy yelling support to him and this guy saying how great he loves this place.
Hey, everybody. This is Kim Hibia. This place is fucking awesome. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think she was also singing a cover. I couldn't pick up what
it
was.
I say seven people.
It's not a lot.
I
love the guy. You're fucking awesome, man.
That's probably the guy who owns the house.
It could be.
I have good applause ears. So for my years of doing late night comedy store spots, that sounds like seven people.
Well, then I think they're all perform. You know, I don't think there's one audience member there.
Well, who would go?
I was asking Courtney, or she was asking me too. How do you hear about this? Where do you find out?
Oh, probably
this?
Like Facebook? On the listing of open, like musical open mics.
Yeah, but it's like come to our backyard.
But it's like you know how to. It's like comedy. You know, some people have comedy in their backyards.
Yeah,
dude, we did that one. Was it out in the valley,
Burbank? I thought
was it Burbank?
I can't remember.
But there was a ton of people there.
Yeah. It was a weird
show. That was years ago. That was like 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was a weird time. Here's the last clip. This is the owner of the house. Or I don't know if they own the house, rent the house. The guy who runs this open mic. This is his. Because he plays. This is. Remember I said he plays a saxophone?
Yeah.
Here's the saxophone. And this is the song that he plays like every fucking day to practice. And it drives both me and Courtney crazy.
Thank you.
Is he doing a sax solo? Oh my God.
I don't know if you could hear it. He was doing a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme song cover to his fucking saxophone, which drives me crazy.
Yeah. How do you go from STP to Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Over a saxophone fucking riff that the guy practices for 80 hours a day.
That's fucking weird.
It's such a
bizarre. Dude, you got, I mean, there's no way that can last that long.
I'm tempted to just climb the fence and sing You're a Beautiful Animal to
that's true.
Just the seven people.
Get Hot Pepper on your side. Do a battle of the bands.
Beardo, fly over. Can I Skype Beardo in from Australia?
Yeah.
Do some songs.
Dude, what you need is the like, there are gangs in that area.
Yeah.
Why haven't the gangs gone in and shot this place up?
I don't know.
By the way, I'm not condoning violence. I'm just saying I'm surprised that people in that neighborhood have not gotten angry and done some sort of uprising.
They may be performing. They may, because I have heard rap.
Is this a white guy?
I think he's like Brazilian or something.
Okay.
I don't know. His name's Marcelo. If that gives anybody any hints. I'm not sure.
I mean, accent? Like he's from Brazil?
No,
or
he's
no?
Like dark skinned. His name's
but he's an American guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he said
this seems like some real white. This seems like a white guy shit, right?
Said
here.
He was going to invite us
dude
to the show.
Let's have a jam band in my backyard.
I didn't get invited to the. He said he was going to invite us, but I guess he was inviting us. But like, I don't think we showed any interest.
Dude, you should show up at noon with like a casserole and be like, "Dude, let's jam."
I'm here for the party.
Oh, he would freak out.
And then I think when they have Airbnb people, I've just heard guys like. Going out there because it's there and getting on a live mic like by themselves, like just either almost like mumbling into the mic or like lightly singing.
Oh, so he leaves the mic on for the Airbnb people?
It seems like it. It's a real fucking shit show.
Dude, if he did do stand up though, they started getting a good crowd. That's like, it's the greatest thing ever. You could just climb the fence and go over there.
Ari Shaffir, when he stays in LA, should get this Airbnb, do a show.
That'd be great.
In the backyard.
You should ask that guy. Ari would stay down there.
I'll be there. I'll be in your backyard.
I'm running my last hour, my Jew hour in the backyard.
The acoustics are great. Come look at the stars, do mushrooms outside.
The thing is, you would do it as a joke and then he would love it. Like, what are you talking about? I mean, why are you criticizing it? It's great.
I'm going to buy the house.
Just to fuck you, because fuck you and your family over there.
He's so weird. You see on Twitter, he's looking for like comics to move his apartment. It's like just,
30 an hour? No, that's pretty decent.
Why do you need them to be comedians?
Because he always... By the way, comedians would be the last people I want to help me
move.
They're going
to break your shit.
They're lazy as fuck.
They steal your stuff. They may not show up.
You're talking about the flakiest people ever.
And how about hiring guys who do this for a living? Sometimes they're not even foolproof, but at least they do it.
And if you told them you're paying them 30 an hour, they'd be like, oh my, yeah, fuck. He wants to get, I mean, his thing is he wants to support
yeah. the community. I get it, but it's like.
And I don't know if the movers would take shrooms as a tip.
Yeah. You also get shrooms as a tip? Get it? Just the tip of the mushroom? That's a good joke.
People were shitting on him. It's pretty funny. There's a lot of people really shitting on him.
I saw he was also giving away like a list of things. He's like, I'm not killing myself. Stop saying that.
Yeah.
But it's like you're giving away all your possessions. Does his lady have like everything he already has?
Dude, by the way, he didn't have much stuff. He had a bunch of t-shirts. I stayed there. You stayed there.
Yeah.
Wasn't a whole lot going on in there.
Wasn't much in there.
It's a couch.
I slept over the comforter. I couldn't get over.
He claimed the. No, I talked to the maid and the housekeeper.
I don't
trust
them.
She was like, she claimed that she washed them.
Yeah, but then you talk to him. He's like, I cleaned them after. I re-switched them on you. This is my dirty ones.
I scrubbed them on my cock to clean them. By the way, I wish you could gamble on whether who Ari gets to come over to his fucking house to help him move.
People threw us in the mix because they said, would you rather have me and you? It was me and you, Joe Rogan, and two
Teeb
other.
And Triple H.
Yeah, what duo would you like to help
you
move?
You should fly us out.
Yeah, Ari, fly us out. We'll help you move.
I think it's too late. I think it needs to be out.
Okay, well, sorry. So we missed it.
We have another sponsor, BetDSI.
Yeah.
There's a fight. By the time this comes out, it'll be over, but I'm betting on the Cerrone versus Al Quinta.
Aya Quinta.
Aya Quinta.
You bet. You got to be betting on Donnie.
I don't know, man. I got
Aya Quinta's on a roll.
I know he's and also
he's a scrapper.
He went the distance. He's the only guy that made Khabib look beatable.
And he was a roommate of Gabe Killian, who's a comedian and gambler.
Oh,
himself.
Yeah. Was that his roommate?
He loves him. I watched the Khabib fight, and he was there, and I've never seen a guy root more passionately.
Oh, really?
Oh, he was standing up. He's screaming. He was like, good job, Al. That's it. Going crazy.
What I love more than that guy is Teeb's impression of that guy.
Oh, and it's phenomenal. To his face.
Jason Tebow is the greatest impression of him.
To his face. So yeah, you get those fights coming up. NBA playoffs are hot NBA. And heavy right now.
I'm putting, it's not going to matter because you're not going to hear this, but I am putting money on Aya Quinta.
Well, let's see how you, last time you had Poirier, so let's see if he's two for two.
I think he can beat him. I think he's fresh. He's fresher.
And he's got Matt Serra and Ray Longo with his fupa and his high-waisted jeans in his corner.
They're doing like a fight night every fucking week now. The UFC is.
Yeah, it's getting a little crazy.
So if you're going to bet, use BetDSI. Use it on your phone. Use it on your computer. Just whatever you do, you use the promo code DO101.
Yeah.
It's going to get you some special offers. It's going to help your life out. It's going to put your kids through college.
Yep.
You get on BetDSI. You put some money down. Do it on your phone. Do whatever the fuck you want. They pay on time. They've been around for 20 years.
If you want a little extra edge, put a blue chew in your mouth. Chew it up.
Yeah.
They give you extra insight. I'm not saying it will. It could, though.
Dude, maybe Earl use some blue chew.
Oh, be cool. Episode 200's coming up.
Yeah, because he doesn't like... That would be even better. It's chewable. He might like it more than those other
fucking things. I can't swallow
pills.
From a young kid, I had my... My butler had to crush him, put in my applesauce.
So use that promo code on BetDSI, DO101.
Help us help you.
That's 101, DO101.
Want to talk? I've been meaning to talk about this book. I talked to you about it off air at All Things Comedy. Actually, it's called "I'll Be Gone in the Dark." It's kind of in line with the Tiffany book, but way, 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 way darker.
Fiction or nonfiction?
No, it's nonfiction. It's about this guy who there was no name for, like this. So back in the day, this is like 70s and 80s, I believe. If you know, law enforcement didn't communicate across state lines really at all, even across like county lines.
Yeah.
And so crimes would happen and they had trouble. If you watch the show Mindhunter on Netflix, they didn't really understand the concept of serial.
They didn't know the psychology behind it. They didn't know the breakdown of it.
Yeah, and they didn't really understand that like, oh, someone can kill like a million, you know, a ton of different people and be a serial killer. They just thought like, it was unrelated. They had trouble linking them together.
It was a relatively new term.
Yeah, and if people traveled, they didn't communicate with it. Like they're like, oh, this everything that matches like the guy we had who did this.
Yeah.
So there was this guy going around. So this guy went uncaught for 30 years as a serial rapist and killed. So he raped at least 50 women, and he killed, I want to say, 12. And so Patton Oswalt's wife, who actually passed away. Was like, I guess, basically became obsessed with this guy.
This is the Golden State
Killer. Who she dubbed that. That's her name. There was no name for the guy. Like, there was, you know, like, this is a guy who, he's like a well-known deal. And so she became like she put her own money into this. Like, she was buying, like, she would go online trying to buy, like, cufflinks that she thinks he may have owned. Like,
what?
Yeah, like crazy.
Why would they? How would she know the cuffle? Like they found a similar one.
They
at
would
the
just
scene
yeah, like
something?
They like knew his initial, like, and they knew that he had owned it, like, or something. And she like just
she was like trying to live, like try to inhabit this guy's mind,
like,
and body.
Stuff. Like she said, like, I'd be at a premiere with my husband, and like I would like, I don't really like premieres, not my life, you know, like I support my husband and what he does, but like I don't really like being there. I don't like being on the red carpet. She's like, I'd take a phone call from like a retired detective, and I'd like go off to the side. Dude, she was like in cahoots with like former, like a ton of former law enforcement.
She helped find him.
In the end, yeah, like she did help take him down. So a little bit about this guy. So he would come into your place. This, a lot of times this was his MO. He would stalk your neighborhood for like a long time. And back then there was like less secure, you know, like less security and shit. And people had like a lot of places with open windows, and he loved only one story homes. He didn't want to risk someone being on a second story seeing him in the backyard. Did a lot of prowling because he went by the, they called him the Night Prowler, I think. And then the, there was another name. The original Night Stalker was another name that he went by.
So he was a night rapist, a night stalker, a night murderer.
Yes.
And all combined makes him the Golden State Killer.
Yes. Yeah, in California.
It's the trifecta.
Yeah, some of his crimes were in Stockton, in that area.
I could see that.
He worked the whole state.
Also, like a lot of those areas are, it's like a big city, and then it's nothing but wilderness.
So he
seems like somebody could disappear easily.
He loved areas that had like were either under construction, so you could kind of like go through like woods. He said he knew like that he would know all the areas because they would like think like, oh, is he from here? Because like he was working like drainage ditches, so he'd like come out in like a weird fucking section.
Oh, like then, he was under the ground. He's like subterranean.
And then like disappear, you know what I mean? And like disappear quickly.
Yeah.
One of his moves was he would steal a 10-speed bike in the area and just fucking like cruise out. so his move is he wears a ski mask at all time, or like anytime he's in your house. And so he wakes you up.
But also, how bad were these killers for the ski mask industry? Because when you see a ski, like, you know, they used to make the ski mask that had the three holes. I had one when I was a kid. Now
they had to do the big hole.
Yeah, now they do the big hole because
so you can identify.
I think anyone that was buying those, everyone thought was getting ready to commit a fucking crime.
Yeah, robbing or whatever.
I think it decimated the ski mask industry having all these guys use them.
It's an interesting theory.
Yeah.
The ski mask, they must have had a meeting. God damn it. We need better PR.
For winter, by the way, the one that covers, that just has the three holes.
Great.
Is way more comfortable, but there's a picture of me as a kid. I look like a fucking psycho.
The problem with those, though, is they would always like get off your eye. You know what I mean? Like your eyes.
Yeah, yeah, they would move.
You couldn't see peripherally well at all. Like if you got a snowball fight, those were dangerous.
Like if you were.
You had to pull it up over your eyes or you were fucked.
If you were Sloth from Goonies, there's no way his eyes were too fucked up.
He'd have to buy a special one.
It would have to be custom built.
So he'd come in the ski mask. He'd be pantless, already hard.
So no underwear.
No underwear.
Where did he put his pants?
They don't know. And he would often leave.
Would he hide them in the bushes?
He would often leave. They're like, he must live nearby where he's doing, because like he would leave crime scenes naked.
How the fuck did he have a boner already?
They said they thought like, horny they off thought this. Like, yeah, doing this was doing the excitement.
Wow.
Yeah. And like knowing that someone's there. And so then he comes in your room.
By the way, this guy puts Earl's Cakel to shame.
Yes.
That'd be like if Earl showed up to the UFC with a boner, no pants on.
By the way, they said he had a tiny dinky, every woman.
Oh, really?
And they would eliminate suspects sometimes. Like, oh, he's got an average-sized dick. It's not him.
Do you think that you think that he didn't give a fuck that he had a small dinky? Or do you think that that was part of his driving force?
It could be. It's hard to say, but it could be. I mean, obviously, this guy's beyond sociopath. He's insane.
Oh, for sure. Do you think it made him mad, though, when he read about his small dinky in the paper?
Probably. Yeah, I would say so. They said he followed his, like, because I'll get into
it. I don't have a small dick. I'll show you.
So then he comes in. He blinds you with the flashlight in the bedroom, which how frightening is that?
Yeah.
So he starts with single women. He blinds you with the flashlight. So then the media started covering him, and they're like, oh, he's only hitting up single women, which pissed him off, starts hitting up only couples, exclusively.
This guy's like a real I'll show you.
Yes. So then he comes in, does the same thing with the flashlight, he makes the woman tie the man up, but she would do a shitty job, but it was just to like get rid of him for a second. He'd tie the woman up, then he'd retie the man up.
He have a knife or a gun?
Or
anything.
He'd have a gun.
How big was he?
The descriptions were like all over the map.
But when they caught him though, was he like a big guy, like 6 foot, 250?
Nah, I think like 5'10".
Okay.
And but he was doing like crazy. Like he was in. They always were like he must be, because he was like climbing fences. Like he was doing like a lot of
He's
shit.
Good shape.
Yeah, he was like. So then he would tie the guy up, put him face down. He would go to your kitchen, get like a little tea saucer. In a fucking teacup, put it on your back and be like, if this falls off your back, I'm going to come in here and kill you. Oof. Which is crazy. I mean, the suspense of that. So then he blindfolds the woman so she doesn't see him at all, even though he has a mask. He rapes her. Then he goes into your kitchen and he starts making himself snacks. He would go get crackers. And he would,
Jesus.
Dude, they said if you had beers, he would drink a couple beers.
the fuck the mentality to so be then, that comfortable? Oh, to do any of this, it's insane.
So then he they're like, oh, did he leave? Because like an hour goes by, and then you're like, you start talking to the guy.
So is the woman then tied up too?
Yeah. So then you start talking to the guy. Oh, he unties you to rape you. Then I think he reties you up. So then he starts talking to the guy. And then he'll bull charge. He'll be like, like get in your face. And they said sometimes he would do that for hours. Where you don't know he's there. And then he just disappears. And they said that tactic was like so he could leave and you would never know when he left. So say you call the cops, you could have been gone for hours already.
It's like that tactic that you've seen in the movies Bank Robbers, where like, count to this. Yeah. And I'm going to come back in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Make sure you're still counting.
But I mean, when you're tied up and blind, you know the maniacs in your
fucking
place.
Was there any like dude who just fucking broke free and attacked him?
Yeah, people did.
And what happened?
He had to bolt. Well, he would shoot you if he fucking...
Oh, so he did have a gun.
Yeah. Yeah, he carried a gun.
Oh, I thought, yeah.
No, he carried a gun. So one guy chased him through a backyard because they saw him prowling, because it became a big thing in Northern California, Sacramento. They think he was there because his wife went to college there. So that's why he was in that area.
So he was like an Iceman. He had wife, kids,
yeah,
and stuff?
Yeah, family.
Jesus Christ.
So a guy
and they knew nothing about this?
I don't know. I don't think so.
You can't be that insane, though. You know how even the Iceman's wife was suspected something but didn't dare ask?
Guy chased him. He shot the guy in the stomach. And then in Orange County, because he came back down to around here, two people got out. And so then after that, he's like, I'm murdering anybody I come in contact. That's when the murder started. Two people got out. And an FBI agent was the next door neighbor. He heard someone screaming, gets in his car. He's chasing a guy on a 10-speed bike.
Should have hit him.
People said that. And he's like, I don't know what he did. Yeah, all I heard was somebody. He's like, it could have been just a fight. I have no idea. Yeah. And he got away, and then after that, he committed a lot more crimes.
How'd the guy get away? The guy was chasing him in his car.
Said that he would bolt out, and he would jump. He jumped off, climbed a fence, and he was gone.
Almost like one of these fucking weird creatures that could, was there rumors he could jump a 10-foot fence in a single leap?
Yeah, there were kind of, not rumors, but, it was just, how elusive he was.
Yeah.
And just, they just couldn't pin him down. They couldn't get anything on him. People were like, does he work construction? Is that why he's always around construction sites and he knows them well and areas that are building? They just were trying to figure it out. Amateurs formed an online group. So they said some people would get in too deep. So amateur detectives were forming these crazy theories and spending hours upon hours trying
almost
to fucking,
like Patton's wife.
She was in it. She was big into these chat rooms. Patton's wife got so involved in this mentality that he once came in when she was sleeping and she woke up and grabbed a lamp and swung it at his head and he barely dodged it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She just got into even reading the book. I'm in my apartment, which would be hard to get into. And I'm looking over my, it's scary shit to read.
Well, tell
man.
The scariest part that you told me about the guy would hide in your house for hours without you knowing it. It just freak you out.
Yeah, no, I was saying that earlier, and he would fucking just
There's specific stories with that little girl.
Yeah, oh, there's a little girl who it was a boy or a girl, I don't know. Because he would go in with people with kids, and he would leave the kid alone, but tie him up. And then the person would be terrified. They'd be like, "Where's my?" And he'd be like, "Shut up."
Oh, did you say there's one where they're like, "Mommy, there's a man in my room or something"? That she didn't believe her.
Yeah, and so then
the guy was just pretty fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's so then the guy he comes in, and then the kid was not blindfolded, and the woman's like, "Are you okay?" At his hours later.
Yeah,
and the kid's like, "Mommy, no!" And the guy bull charges the bed, and rapes the fucking mom again in front of this kid.
God damn.
Yeah, it's just shit. He once punched a fucking he punched a poodle in the face. A dog that came after him. He tried to gut a German Shepherd with a knife and somehow survived. They think he was feeding the dogs, because a lot of dogs that would normally bark wouldn't bark when he came around. This guy is
really scouted out for a while.
So then they finally caught this guy. Unfortunately, after Patton Oswalt's wife passed away, because she was a big part of it, 78 years old now, live with his daughter and grandkids.
Wow.
Which is insane, what he's done to women that he's living with these.
Yeah, but you got to think that the daughter was probably so psychologically damaged. Because there's no way that this guy, you can't be completely normal living in a perfect family situation where no one suspected. I imagine that he was super abusive or in some way.
He was a cop whose specialty was burglary, and that's how he like how he knew how to get in and out of houses.
Did he investigate any of his own things?
I don't think so, but we started watching this TV show like about this because we're like, we need to know more.
What show was it?
It's I forget what it's called. I can tell you. I don't know it offhand. They have this town meeting about this guy, and this guy stands up and he's like, he's coming in where men are. You couldn't do that to me. Guess whose wife became a victim? That guy.
Oh, really?
Like, fuck. Like, he was in the meeting.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So it's like...
Oh, so either some random dude just stood up and be like, I'd like to see you try it.
No. Well, he said, like, I would, you know, I'd protect my lady. That wouldn't happen to me. And then, lo and behold. And then cops would be like, basically, like, we got this. And then he would hit the same block, like, that he had just done.
Did you say, too, like, 20 years would go by, and then he would call these women that he assaulted?
He once called a lady 20 years later. He's like, remember when we played?
Oh, God, how freaky that'd be.
Yeah, and the little woman's like, oh, Jesus Christ. It's insanity.
So, what has he said about it?
I don't think much has been done. I think he's still waiting for trial. I don't think much has been said.
Here's the thing, like... Isn't there a system where we can just torture this guy, like put his foot in like a meat grinder
or just let the victims, if they want to, do some sort of torture?
I mean, I wouldn't even do that. I think that'd just almost be too, it almost seems like that. Can we just, is there some way where you can just slowly beat him with a hammer over the course of a year until he's dead? Because what he's going to get is either life, and then what has he got? Another 10, maybe 4 years left in him?
Yeah, he's not going to live.
Or they'll give him the chair and...
But that takes so long.
He'll probably die before that. And also, or lethal injection, whatever it is too humane. I wish there was some way, a guy like this who you know did it, is there not just some way where you can just fucking
immediate.
Something that's a year-long torture.
Should be something to his genitals, because that's like what he was
using. But slowly.
Yeah.
Like, you let a dog eat his ball sack.
But like one bite a day.
Yeah.
Not all at once.
Like, can't you just have this guy suffer?
You would think, like, there's no, like, why treat someone
death
like...
Death is too quick.
Why treat someone like that humanely? Like, such a fucking animal.
Yeah, I wish there was this somewhere where the judge is like, all right, here's the year-long plan. We're going to inflict each of these specific tortures every day for a fucking year, and then finally he'll be dead.
Sometimes during, like, while he was rummaging around your house, because he loved to, he would steal shit just to, like...
He's like Ari!
He would love to rummage. Like, he would love to rifle through the affairs like Ari.
What if you found out Ari was doing this kind of behavior?
I would.
And that's why he travels the world as a comedian. Perfect cover.
I'd kill him. So then he would be rummaging through your affairs, but they never knew if this was real or if he was fucking with people. He'd be like, oh, they want to write about me in the press? My mommy doesn't like what they write about me in the press. It makes her sad. And then he'd be like, then he would start weeping. And they're like, I thought he may have been laughing. Like it was just like, I don't know if it was theatrics.
Wow.
Like just all this crazy shit.
Do you know if this guy knew about Patton's wife? By the way, we keep calling Patton. We should know her name.
Her name's Michelle. Know.
Oh, Michelle.
Michelle McNamara.
Do you know?
They didn't say, but you would think somebody who follows everything so closely would know, like it would be
was
in those.
Was she scared that he was going to come get her?
She never expressed that, but I'm assuming if you wake up swinging a lamp, you're probably in a kind of an odd headspace.
You know what? He could have driven. By the way, he lives two blocks from where we are right now.
Pat.
And his wife did. I wonder if he was ever in this area, just like seeing where she lived and just taking a look around.
He definitely would be in these chat rooms because he was somebody who followed all this shit, and it seemed like he did get a thrill out of
if he's in chat rooms, he took the technology well for 78.
Yeah, maybe not, but I don't know. But
he may have. You're that obsessed with yourself.
I think he got out of the game because he got a little older and like he just had a couple close calls. I'm getting out.
Man, to have that sort of discipline though, to be like, hey, I'm hanging it up.
Yeah, and then to go 30 years undetected, it's crazy. I mean, you could get away with it with the DNA.
Not to mention cameras in your house.
That's what fucked him, his DNA came through.
Yeah.
Then they got his profile, and he had a very rare, like...
blood type?
And pattern of DNA. And so then, he had no record. And so they wanted the...
DNA's good also... like linking you to crimes, but also they need you in a database, or only when you come to trial is it damning.
So they wanted that 23, like sites like 23andMe to help them out. And they said, you know, that's because the cops are like,
it's slippery slope there.
They're like, if those sites would just they're like, we would solve so many crimes, but they're like, those sites are like, we can't do that. It violates our like policies.
I know that's the double edged sword of it. I would say, but
then,
I wouldn't agree with that.
As an ordinary citizen, they can just give anybody's, you know, information
you can't
away.
Do it.
So I think what they did, one of these, I think one of the retired detectives like scoured one of those sites, looked for this fucking specific type of DNA and traced it to like a great grandparent and went all the way down.
Fuck.
Dude, like it must have taken forever, and found out like somebody who matched, who was in the areas this guy would have been in. And it turned out that that's who they were. It was him. That's who they arrested him.
How scary is that? Because eventually those sites might start selling to organ. You know what I mean?
Already a lot of, yeah, man, I'm fucking already looking into it, bro. Sam Tripoli. A lot of people are saying the government already has access to a lot. They're like, if you do this, you're in for.
But they did. They were selling your info to pharmaceutical companies.
No, I don't think it's out of the question.
But also, if your family member does it, you're basically in there.
Yeah, that's true too.
Which is scary though, because then you get into this kind of. What was that fucking movie with the precogs? The Spielberg movie?
E.T.?
Yeah, E.T. God damn it. Right now someone's screaming, listening to this, being like, it's the fucking...
Want me to look up Spielberg?
It was the Tom Cruise movie, remember?
Schindler's List?
Yeah,
Vanilla Tom Sky?
Cruise. No, Spielberg didn't. Minority Report.
Top Gun.
Minority Report. It starts getting into that sort of level where people... are going to be able to just know, like, instantly, instant identities everywhere you go, everything you do. You'll leave a trail. I mean, not even crimes. I'm just speaking in general. I mean, your phones already do it, but, like, it's getting absurd.
Yeah, it's getting crazy. Speaking of crazy, we got episode 200 coming up live at the Comedy Store, and I just talked to Brenton Biddlecombe of All Things Comedy, a comedian himself. These tickets are selling like hotcakes, guys. You've got to get them in the next week or two. I think we're going to be sold out.
Yeah.
So if you,
which is crazy because we're still like 2 or 6 weeks out.
Yeah. Well, thank you for all who've bought. And,
absolutely.
If you want tickets, I recommend getting them before on Eventbrite. Look us up. You'll be able to find them. We got star-studded cast, Bushman, Eleanor Kerrigan.
Yeah, it's June 20th in the Belly Room.
8 p.m.
8 p.m. We're starting 8 p.m. sharp.
Yeah, 8 p.m. sharp. We got a 7-Up cake being made, possible 7-Up cake taste test.
We got Bush. We got live music. We've got dancing.
Andy DeWitt, John J. Little.
Yeah.
Am I leaving anybody out?
Bush, DeWitt, Eleanor... Earl.
More Bush. Maybe Feng Shao warming up the crowd at a little before 8.
He called me to do mushrooms with him.
He told me that.
And then he told me to ask you, and I go, yeah, I'm going to tell you right now. Probably not interested. He goes, well, ask him for me, please, anyway. And I go, oh, yeah, sure, I'll do that for you.
If I were to do mushrooms, I can tell you for a fact it would not be with him.
I 100% agree.
Because they would easily make me lose my mind, and I would be scared he would kill me.
And then he asked me what we were talking about, what we wanted him to do. I told him to listen to episode 191.
I thought he was a listener. Now he might be fired.
And so he said, well, just tell me. I go, no, listen to me, but you got to listen to the beginning all the way to the end because we sprinkle it throughout. And then call me back after you've listened to it. And he said, fuck you, won't you?
So, well...
said, hey, there you
go. Can't work with that kind of attitude.
No. Also, who calls somebody and says at last minute, like, hey, you want to do shrooms in like 20 minutes?
It's weird.
You
got to
be like, hey, Wednesday I'm doing shrooms. Do you want to do them? By the way, I would say no. But just once a year I like to do it as a special occasion with like-minded people and in a locale that is suitable for doing shrooms, meaning the woods. The desert, somewhere completely away from people.
If you were to ask me as a teenager, like, do you think mushrooms and hallucinogenics will be so prolific when, like, you're, like, getting to be middle-aged, I would be shocked.
No, yeah, I know.
Like, comedians do. We know comedians who just, like, on a Tuesday, like, yeah, I'm on LSD. And you're like, what?
See, I can't get behind that. I can get behind it being, like, a special event.
I just think it's the older you get, and the more you do stuff like this at that age, it's gonna do shit to your brain.
Moderation with everything.
Yeah,
but just calling me up, being like, "I'm like, where are you gonna go? Hang out in your apartment?" And no thanks.
It sounds horrible.
In L.A., it sounds like a nightmare happening.
Yeah, sounds like one of those things where like. MMA fighter cut his friend's dick off and boiled it, which was a real thing because they were on hallucinogenic drugs.
They were doing the bath salts.
For every great
from China.
For every great like mushroom LSD story, there's that 1 in 100 of like someone cut some guy's head off.
That's why I think you got to prepare yourself and you got to do it in the right spot. Also, like if you're just doing a little and you want to get high, fine. But like I like to go deep. I like to blast off. The heavy waves.
I would be frightened of Feng Chao on mushrooms. I don't know what it would do to him.
I just wouldn't want, because I have a feeling it'd be a lot of talking.
Do you know that thanks to you, the Dice Man is now, Feng Chao's on his radar.
Oh, really?
It's been, Eleanor Kerrigan told him that there's a guy who goes by the Rice Man.
By the way, he's not adopted the name at all. Everybody wants him to go by Rice Man.
She said, Ryan O'Neill, and who?
She always
like,
says
she's
who.
Like, Dice, you know who he is.
He doesn't know.
He's like, who is he? And she's like, this, okay. And so she's like,
he only knows me by face. She's this guy.
She's like, he dubbed him the Rice Man. What? Why? And she's like, because he's an Asian guy. And she's like, you got to meet him. And he's like, why? And so he did a video. Dice Man did an Instagram video, one of his, Eleanor and Dice Man's, one of their shtick videos on Instagram, where they're in the gym where Dice is fucking, he does the camera move. You get dizzy watching it because he like pans so fast. So it's Eleanor and she's like, you got to meet this guy, Feng Chao. What? She's like, you got to meet this guy, Feng Chao. Funk, what is this? She's like, he's the Rice Man. So the movement started.
I think he's going to have
You may make it where it becomes he has to do it.
He has no choice. I saw the behind the scenes, the making of the Dice Eleanor Instagram videos one night. And quite a production going on there.
Give me the makeup. I need lighting.
I see Dice all the time. If I see him, he's like, oh, hey. No name recognition
Remember
whatsoever.
Remember when we worked there years and years ago, he was coming in with cameras.
Yeah.
And doing videos. This is pre-Instagram and all that, but doing like, I remember Maz Jobrani.
He had that was a great one.
Comic goes up to him, because I was in the lot, so I got to see a lot of these videos being made.
There'd be a little bit of a meeting beforehand, like, you come up to me.
And they'd be like, wait, for what? And he'd be like, I'm going to film it. And
he's like, yeah, just but
for
do what? It.
Yeah, for my video. And they're like, what are you going to do? We're going to do the thing. It's going to be funny. And you're like, okay. And Maz was a guy who I don't think he really didn't know the Dice Man really at all. I mean, obviously, everybody knows who he is.
He knew. Yeah, he was like, oh, hey.
Yeah, hey, man. Like, yeah. So he's like, okay, here's what we're going to do. The Dice comes up to him. He's like, the guy, if you don't know Maz Jobrani, he's a Middle Eastern comic. He's Iranian.
Yeah, bald dude, mustache.
Yeah.
Or goatee.
He's been around.
Yeah.
So Dice Man goes, you're from the middle? And he's like, what?
He goes, yeah, the Middle East.
He's like, you're from the middle? He's like, yeah, I'm from the Middle East. Yeah, I'm from Brooklyn. And he goes, okay. And he goes, oh, I think the Mazda's like, oh, I'm going there. Like, I have to do a show. Like, I'll be there. I'll be waiting for you. I was like, what the fuck is that?
But it's Dice. It's so funny because it's
so crazy.
He just stays in that character all the time.
It's so bizarre. Are you from the middle? What the fuck?
It's great.
Check out the Dice Man's Instagram if you want to see him. I think it had 5,000 views. While we're at it, you got to check out Brian Holtzman's Instagram videos. Yeah, they're tremendous.
Instagram video of the week, Brian Holtzman, finally getting his neck brace off.
His video is very bizarre. I guess the other night he had shoes on.
By the way, if you don't know Brian Holtzman...
He's one of the Comedy Store classics.
The true, true artists of the stand-up world. He is, you could safely say there's not a single person like him you'll ever see. He's so committed. And when he's on, he is literally probably the funniest person I've ever seen.
The same thing you just said about him, that he's just a one in a million, one just never.
Yeah.
And the epitome of the Comedy Store is... The triumvirate, Brody Stevens, Don Barris,
and
Brian Holtzman. The kings of late night.
I say the undisputed kings of comedy.
If you see any of them, you'll never forget it, whether you love it, hate it. No one's going to walk away being like, I'm indifferent.
They're the kind of guys that like a Chappelle will watch Holtz and be like, that guy's a genius.
Yeah. You can't, like, it's tough to do stuff with him because he's a little out there.
The problem is what makes him not able to be mainstream is also what makes him great, because he what do you do with him? It's impossible. Like, he's just what he is.
I saw him in the green room. I brought him up on Wednesday, and just that, because sometimes I'm like, I don't know if he knows my name. Like, we talk.
Yeah.
Like, but then one time he thought I was you, because he's like, but then I thought he may have been joking, because it's hard. He's like, hard can be deadpan at times. He's like, because he's like, congratulations on doing Ari's show. And I was like, that wasn't me. That was Ryan. And he like looked at me like, what? I was like, that was Ryan O'Neill. And he's like, you know what? I don't feel happy about it at all anymore. I was like, okay. So he saw me the other night, and he's like, I heard Frazier Smith was talking about Ryan O'Neill on the radio the other night. And I was like, oh, really? He didn't say what it was. Like,
he called me, left me a message. Should I play it? I don't know. It's insane. He's like, this is Barry Katz. I work for Barry Katz. I want you to write 10 things that... ten of your strengths. And then he goes, I heard Frazier Smith say really good things about you on the radio. And I was like, what, is he listening to Frazier?
I was like, yeah, we used to do a show every week at 1 a.m. And he kind of changed the subject.
I didn't know whether I should call him back. He goes, I hope this is the right Ryan O'Neill. I was like, what? I didn't, because if I call back, I don't know what to say to him.
Well, then, he's like, oh, hey. Or the moment passed, and he's like,
yeah.
Like, what are you calling me for?
And I told Don about it, because he has the rivalry with him.
Yeah.
And I said he called me. I said, Don, you should call him, and you say, you stay away from Ryan O'Neill. He's with me.
So Eleanor Kerrigan told me that, I guess on stage, Holtzman started talking about his shoes. And she's like, I never really like look at his shoes, to be honest.
Yeah.
And so I guess he's like, look at these shoes. And I guess he was wearing Jordans, which seems out of character.
I got to start looking at his shoes now. This guy's wearing Jordans.
So if you know anything about Holtzman, he's like, I don't know, 50-something-year-old guy.
But he wears...
dress
super almost, baggy slacks, with pockets that are about 2-3 feet deep,
almost like a members only jacket, but like something that an older man, like an older man's version of that.
Yeah, but it's almost suede.
Yeah,
and then he wears he looks like a used car salesman in the Midwest.
Well, and then he grew a mustache, which didn't help that, and he has like a pompadour.
He has great hair, by the way. He is, because his hair is thick and it's gray and it's slicked back.
It's almost like he's an older Quagmire from the hair.
Yeah,
from Family Guy. So he starts talking about the shoes, and he's like, "I got the shoes for free, and they're Jordans." He's like, "The only problem is the size 18s." Which if you know Brian Holtzman, he does not have a size 18 foot. There's no way.
He's what, 5'11"? 6 foot,
like,
maybe?
I think his shoe size is like
11,
10. She's
10?
Like 10 or something at the most.
Dude, 18.
He's wearing clown shoes.
There's no way.
When I heard this, I was dying. She goes, I looked at his shoes. They were like the big. She goes, I don't know how I didn't notice. She's like, his face. You're just always looking at it because he's just like doing crazy stuff. She's like, they were the biggest shoes I've ever seen in my life. Like, fucking huge.
18s. And he's walking around.
So
with
then Eleanor after is like, Brian, like, I'm scared you're gonna like roll your ankle or hurt yourself. I'm not running around. I gotta fucking shuffle to my car after the show. I'm size 18.
Who goes, hey, they're free shoes. Oh, size 18s, no problem.
I asked if he was wearing shoes in the shoes to make them stick. Like,
dude, you can't wear. My dad, I think, wore 16s or 15s, and I tried them on, and I wear an 11 and a half. Dude, there's no way you could wear him. He's wearing three sizes bigger.
If you wore a 15, an 18 would be huge on you. It's a huge shoe.
Wow. It's almost double the size he wears.
Yeah, she said he held it up to his foot, and she's like, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. He's wearing fucking ski boots.
And to him, though, he like rationalizes it. Like, they're great shoes. They're free.
Well, yeah, he said, yeah, I couldn't turn it down.
Yes, you can.
I said, what, does his friend fucking play for the Lakers? Like, who's his friend that is 18 laying around? And so she said, like, what's with the shoes? And he's like, the mustache and the shoes, they're becoming a thing. He said, like, it's his fucking
dude. Oh, my God. Even David Taylor couldn't get, and I think he wears 15.
15 or 16, I believe. Yeah. Yeah, those would be big on him.
Yeah.
And you, anybody wears a shoe two those, sizes
those
too big.
Those are big fucking shoes.
I don't know how he walks around.
Who did he get them from?
I don't know.
Are they like old NBA shoes?
I have no idea.
Who the fuck wears an 18? What percentage of the population wears an 18? I would say like 0.1%.
Very slim. Yeah, 18 I think is big for the NBA probably.
Yeah. What size Shaq wear?
Like 20 or 22.
Which is, you're talking a 7 foot man.
Yeah. And Holtzman's what, 5'11"? Six?
Maybe six. Maybe
I mean,
five
he's not. Yeah. I don't think he's not like. I've yeah,
he, you know what?
I've shaken hands with him. He doesn't have huge hands.
He might be shorter than we think. Sometimes you picture Holtz because he's so larger than life. Yeah. You're like, yeah, he was 6'9".
He's 5'7".
Yeah.
But size 18 is the fucking. It's the best thing I've ever heard.
Dude, I gotta start looking at his shoes from now on.
If I see, if I'm in like a Ross or Marshalls and I see a size 18.
Try it on.
No, I'll buy it for, give it to him.
Oh, the free. We just, you know what we should do? Just bombard him with shoes that are only 18. Like, I couldn't say no.
Or 20s.
I found a 25.
I was, if the guy's wearing a size fucking 18.
And he wears a 10 or 11.
Shoe.
That's great, man. What a fucking, what a treat. What a treat. There's he's never said something that has not just been an addition to the legend that he is.
I can't wait.
It's not a normal thing in his life.
I'm dying to see him next because I hope he has a, like, I'm dying
step
to,
on the front of his foot.
I'm just dying to see them in person.
Yeah. Somebody runs over his, hey, don't worry, I got like 8 inches here.
Yeah, you can run over the 4 feet of his shoe.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
that's a real, I'm glad that you brought that up because that really tickles me.
He's got comedy shoes now. He's that, like, are basically clown shoes.
He just tops himself every time you see
yeah,
him.
Yeah, just when you think, you're like, how can he?
Like, I've got this guy kind of figured out.
Yeah, like I've seen it. I've seen everything he's got to offer. He comes out with something. I mean, he just joined Instagram out of nowhere. He always will do something crazy that you don't expect.
He should be on Ari's new show, Something Crazy.
You're wearing size 18, so? I can't believe it.
He should just do something like that where he just goes spends a day with insane comics.
Like comics like off the, like almost underground comics, yeah. Because like
instead of Something's Burning, Something's Crazy.
Bert should have Holtzman on Something's Burning. He could pour, he could make something in the shoe.
He would, he would either,
you could
be,
make pasta, a whole bowl of pasta in his shoes.
You could eat, maybe he puts like leftovers in the front of the shoe.
Oh, you know, so those guys in Australia do what's called the shoey, where they pull the beer in. Bert did it. You could drink.
You would die.
It's like a keg.
You would die. It's a pony keg for feet. You
would fucking, it would just not stop. It's a pitcher.
That Something Burning with Holtzman would either be the biggest, greatest disaster of all time, or most, one of the most brilliant TV things I've
it
ever
is
seen.
Hard to say what you're going to get.
You don't always have to do 5 episodes with him and take your top one.
Or just splice together, have him wear the same outfit. And cut together
really
one episode.
He should do like a, he should do a Don Barris, Brian Holtzman, Something Burning.
Oh my God.
Dude, we should talk to Bert about this. I know he doesn't know either of them, but, and it would also have to be something where Bert kind of just watches from the sideline, because it would be,
he would have to, I think, go to the store late night for like a couple, like kind of watch what they, you know.
You should do it on stage. It should be a late night Something's Burning.
Alive at the Comedy Store, a live cooking demonstration.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I think that would be, it would be interesting. It would definitely be different than anything he's done.
If he wants to do like a wild card one, one that's just going to be hilarious, like who knows what's going to happen, because it could be one of the, it could be one of the greatest things ever.
I'll text him. I don't know. He's in Europe, I think.
At this point, I would say almost just let it go. If we run into him, I would bring it up. I don't know if it's worth texting.
It's the type of thing, though, like we'll completely forget it. People will probably tweet it, but
I'll remember. We should just tweet, you know,
tweet Bert,
but he like
his
at this
Twitter
point
is so fucking,
it's true. I think because sometimes he doesn't get back to Ari forever.
Yeah,
I've heard. So it's like, well, and he's on tour. But we will run into him probably.
He's the big boss man, which we'll, I said remember to him when I saw him in person, and he looked at me like I was crazy. And then someone interrupted the conversation, so I didn't even get to explain it. And he gave me a look like, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
And then I was like, it was like, and I was going to say, like, your guys' trip to Aspen or whatever you were.
Utah. Or
yeah, Utah.
Park City. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're like, someone else, though, like, and I was like, oh, that came up.
I feel like sometimes when you, and he's in that room, like, he is probably fielding so many questions and everything that I feel like he's in like a separate zone. Very yeah. removed. Because when I see him there, like, we don't really talk much. But then if you see him privately in like a small gathering, like, he'll, you know, you'll have a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, and yes, like I said, like other guy, like people, yeah. and I was like, all right, and it kind of.
The whole weekend was about the Big Boss Man.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole week.
Yeah, no, he was like, he looked at me like, so he gave me the weirdest look, and I was like, all right, didn't.
We haven't been on that show in a long time.
Yeah. Maybe
at some point we should go. Right, but then part of me is also like, we did the 5.5 hours.
Where
you're
not going
to top it.
We may have to do a 24-hour pool cast from his pool.
We spend a day with him.
He's now, you see, he's growing weed.
Yeah, I saw that. What is he, Steve O'Neill?
He has like 8 weed plants. His so kids weird. Were like in his backyard.
You know, our old house in Valparaiso was turned into an Airbnb, or not, it was turned into a bed and breakfast.
You should go stay at
it. And these fucking cunts
should give you a discount.
No, they wrote about it in the article. And the guy said what he found this house, it was neglected and dilapidated. You piece of shit. That fucking house was so, my mom made that house so fucking beautiful. It was like he was like trying to drum up business.
Is he just trying to like create a narrative?
Yes, exactly. And I was so pissed. I sent it to my brother and sister, and they were like, they're like, we should fucking, I don't know if you could take legal action, but like all these articles talked about it. And if I'm not going to give you the address, but if anybody ever stumbles upon it, you can look at when my mom put it up for sale, look at the inside. And now look at what this guy's done to it. And in my personal opinion, the way we had it, way classier, way nicer, way more beautiful. This guy put a hot tub in the backyard.
You should have Dr. Nova go stay there and maybe give it a negative review.
Well, also, he did a write-up about the house's history. And in 1987, it talks about how my dad and mom took over the house. And then he wrote that my dad was a real eccentric. Was known as a real eccentric, which you didn't even know him. How the fuck? My family was pissed. Or my sister and brother were pissed. Like, what are you going putting in your? What is my dad being an eccentric? By the way, I wouldn't describe him as an eccentric necessarily.
Well, like, none of that's going to make anyone stay. You know what I mean? Like, you're not. It's just, I don't know.
It was almost like a shot at the family.
Yeah, it's
for
not.
Some odd reason. And then they also wrote how there used to be a cow in the backyard, a calf, much to the ire of the neighbors. Which, not true, one. Two, how does that have to do with the house history? Like, what does that do? You didn't get into the personal lives of the guy that built the fucking house. You didn't get into the personal lives of the guy who took over the house after that. But then you're like, what is my dad being, quote-unquote, which I don't agree, as an eccentric, have to do with the fucking house's history?
Who even like reads that shit? It's like whether you're gonna stay somewhere or not. It's not like, let me read the fucking fine print backstories of like it, who cares.
It really came up to this point where he was trying to build a fucking narrative. Well, you're absolutely correct on that. Like, it was like, look at, here's this, you know, he wants to have a more interesting backstory to the house than it is
to
drum up business.
It sounds like he's a step away from being like, it's been rumored to be haunted.
Yeah,
you know,
I wouldn't doubt
like
if that.
That
comes up next.
Like, it seems like he's grasping. It's like, what can I do to be appealing? And it's like, I don't think that's going to help.
Yeah, it's like, fuck you. I don't want to.
It sounds like this business could be down. I don't know. But.
He literally just opened. That's why the article came. And I'm not going to say, I mean, you'll be able to find it, but I don't want people to go attack. Part of me wants people to go attack, and part of me is like, I don't want. Because it's not worth it. The guy put a lot of time and money into the house to get it up. I don't want his business room, but I am offended that how he described the house when he stumbled upon it to buy it. And also he was difficult to deal with that.
Maybe Eric Heitz is a silent partner with this guy. One of his many sponsors. It's the ultimate revenge.
So,
well, guess what, Tom? I get to do a special. You can become a special part of a club. I get to block you.
He should just start a separate club of people that he's blocked. Probably way more people than actually follow him now.
This is what you should do. This is your ultimate revenge. I saw this and I thought of your family for sure. This has been a story for a while. This is the Burlington Free Press,
Burlington Code Factory Free Press.
Yeah, Taylor sent me this, but a lot of people sent me. Barb sent me this. But it's been kind of a fluid story. So if you're in Vermont, if you're driving down Route 128 between Westford and Fairfax, very specific, there's a 7-foot-tall sculpture of a raised middle finger carved from a 700-block pound of pine, and it's perched atop a 16-foot pole on the property of a guy named Ted Pelkey, old Teddy Pelkey. And it's he even has it lit up at night so it can be seen.
What happened?
He got in a battle with the town.
Oh, I love it.
And he fucking went crazy. They wouldn't. So he put this thing up in protest of a long-running dispute with the town of Westford. The town's development review board denied Pelkey a permit for an 8,000-square-foot garage he wants to build on his 11-acre property.
It's a big-ass garage.
He spent $4,000 on the middle finger sculpture carved in Vermont by an artisan he declined to name. He didn't want to say who it was. I guess he didn't want to get the guy in trouble, or woman. He said, I've been trying to put a business there for the past 10 years. It's just never-ending. They're railroading us real good. So he felt he was the victim of government bureaucracy.
Yeah, man. Fuck that fucking town.
And so he said, fuck
He's got 11 acres. Let him do whatever the fuck he wants. Remember, it used to be you could build whatever the fuck you wanted on your goddamn house. The government didn't say, well, yeah, no, you can't do that. Fuck you.
John Little also would love this, man. Would shake his hand.
Oh, but for sure.
I bet you got no fire. You got no smoke detectors in there, do you?
I like your style. Oh, wait, all your cars have the seatbelts cut off?
You're fucking true American, sir. So this guy's business is currently located in a nearby town where he says he's running out of space. I'm assuming he does some sort of something with cars.
But he has 11 acres. It's not like it's going to be some eyesore. Pretty decent amount.
Oh, it says his main business is cleaning spools for a monofilament line company, whatever that means. Pelkey and his son also do truck repair on the side. He said it's a low-impact thing of the business. We have such little traffic, you'd wonder if we were even open. Like, he's like, it's not going to interfere with it.
Yeah.
Allison Hope, the chair of the Westford Select Board, said Pelkey's application for a building permit fell short of the points it needed to score
in the review process. Fuck you.
Notice of the decision. Wait a second. I hate these sites. If you, like, touch anything, they send you to some completely different fucking... I just did that.
It's fine.
Hold 1 second.
Dude, I hate that. He fell short. Why don't you just say, yeah, we're not giving him a fuck. I hate this fucking doublespeak. I hate that they don't give you the fucking truth of the matter.
Then they even get more murky. They said there's a variety of reasons for the denial, including that the application does not describe the proposed use of the structure, and it doesn't include the necessary information about lighting.
He wants a garage, by the way. I don't know. He's probably not making crystal meth in there. He's probably not fucking making uranium. So what? I don't know. He wants to fuck. What if he put he wants to fuck sheep in there? I don't know what the fuck to tell you.
This lady said about the sculpture. He apparently can do what he's done. She's upset. I think they looked into
good
because they said it's his property. He can put whatever the fuck he wants. They looked. They said they looked at zoning regulations, and there was nothing the town could do to stop the middle finger from being raised.
They desperately wanted to.
Yeah. It's not advertising a business or service, so it's not a billboard, Hope said, which are banned in Vermont. So this guy like looked into like, what can I get away with?
I forgot this was Vermont. They were fucking strict. So I like the fact there's no billboards. I do like that part.
So falls under the category of public artwork, which is great.
Which, you know, where anywhere else they wouldn't allow this, but since it's Vermont, there's a bunch of hippie fucks. They're fucking definitely. They're like, well, I don't know.
She said the Pelkeys can do what they like to exercise their free speech with the laws and regulations. These people are.
This is probably coming a tourist attraction.
I would get. This seems like it's more disruptive than giving the guy his business.
Yeah, I know, and I agree. I love that he goes, you know what? Fuck you. Here we go.
This guy has.
This is what this town's going to be known for.
This guy's had a lawyer for the past 6 years. I'm assuming it's in regards only to this. His lawyer said, I think what I would say is he doesn't feel like the town of Westford has given him a fair shake. His lawyer appealed the Development Review Board's decision. Still waiting for a decision from the board. He declined to comment on what he discussed in the mediation.
Yeah, man. That's like old Valparaiso.
And I guess Kid Rock has somehow got wind of this. And he's like, oh, man, I need one of those middle... He wants one of the...
This artist, because we're going to become a millionaire off this.
He wants one of them himself on his property.
That's cool.
So there you go. This Ted Pelkey telling Vermont to suck his dick.
That is that is something that we would have done. But, dude, that's when a town doesn't like you and they want you out, It's fucking, they do all kinds of shitty. They did so much shitty shit to my parents because they didn't like the Valparaiso Motel. It was fine in the 70s, 80s, and even the 90s, but 2000, they wanted it to become a quote-unquote, like, tourist destination. Who the fuck wants to go to Valparaiso? And so they're like, this is an eyesore. We don't, and forget that a family is making a lifestyle off of this, like making a living, putting kids through college. They just didn't want the fucking, they thought that since it was on a major highway and so many thousands of people passed in a day, they didn't want, they thought it gave Valparaiso a bad image. Well, fuck you.
You should have put the big middle finger, would have been. You're like, that's a tourist.
That'd be great. Instead of a sign.
The tourist attraction.
Oh, dude, they had so many things that they tried to get the beautification board. Luckily, I think we were grandfathered in, but they had a picture that once when I spray painted "Coming Soon" Ryan O'Neill on our billboard that was for rent, and they used that against my parents because
they're like, wait, he hasn't come yet.
Don't worry, I'm coming right on your face, Valpo.
It's false advertising. That's what they were upset.
By the way,
about.
I like the people of Valpo. I hate the fucking whatever, the government of Valpo can suck my dick.
By the way, did you see this? Frankie sent us something on Twitter. He said we need to ask Bushman about this. Apparently a place in Liberia, I think.
Named Monrovia?
Called Chocolate City.
Oh. I mean.
Is that real?
I don't know.
It's on a map right here. I'll look it up.
Is it because they make chocolate?
I have no idea.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's like Willy Wonka lives there.
Oh, the best chocolate.
I love
yeah.
it. Yeah. Sometimes you get a diamond in the chocolate. Oh, yeah. Every weekend I was in Chocolate City.
Oh,
let me
man.
See. I'm going
to
look
yeah,
it up.
Yeah, Mr. Hershey going to Chocolate City.
Yeah, here
City.
It is. Chocolate City is a town in central northern suburb of Monrovia, Liberia.
So it's in a suburb.
Yeah, contains the Elizabeth Blunt School and the Francis Freeman Elementary.
What? Where's chocolate come from in this?
I don't know. We should ask Bush.
Is this a racial thing?
At the live show, ask him if he's ever been to Chocolate City.
We need to come up with a list of questions that we have to ask him. So we can keep, because the thing about Bush is, since we're going to have a very specific amount of time, we want to hit the strong points.
Yeah, and sometimes Bush is a slow starter.
We should almost do a stopwatch. Bush, give us 1 minute on your thoughts on, and then go, and then we stop him.
But he would be like, I mean, he'd ask like a question. You're like, all right, the minute's up. Yeah. We got to move on to the next subject. Chocolate City. I've never heard of that.
Oh yeah, we lived in the suburbs, Chocolate City.
Oh yeah, the geese there, they laid Cadbury eggs. Oh yeah. You're like, Bush,
every
what?
Night we had chocolate.
Look at Aaron, he doesn't believe me. You're like, Bush, it's a lot of this sounds crazy.
Yeah, it's the tooth cavity capital of the world.
No dentists are allowed in Chocolate City.
It's the sister city of Hershey, Pennsylvania.
We're gonna rock down to Chocolate City Avenue.
Whoa, I was like, dude, that scared the shit out of me. I thought it was the fucking Golden State Killer.
He's 78. I would still be scared of him though.
Yeah, because you know why he has no fear.
And just, you know, he has an appetite for fucking.
Yeah. It's scary when you see guys who don't care whether they live or die sort of thing.
What do you tell the granddaughter? Like, hey, where did grandpa go? Oh, he raped 50 women.
Jesus, dude.
That's a real, like, that could ruin that girl's life.
Yeah, it's ruined.
When you know that DNA is in your, you know, you're like, do I have kids? Do I want to have kids?
No, I know.
Like, it's a crazy thing.
Yeah. I don't know if I don't know if the serial killer gene passed down or.
Yeah, I don't know.
75 long road truckers, dude, are serial killers.
Did you hear about this one that we can get out of here? Jeremy, aka Howard Moon, sent this.
The Moon. I love the Moon. He's always on top of it.
He's
very interactive.
Indiana
too.
Native.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's got some funny stuff.
He's
to
a guy
say
who lives
too.
In Terre Haute.
Okay.
I don't know if he's from there, but he lives there. Have you heard about this? It's made big news. This is Fox. Burger King is they're trying to combat Happy Meals. And dude, fast food has gone so fucking bizarre. We've done some stuff. Del Taco's doing the soap. KFC's making hot tubs. KFC has a line of male dancers for
I saw
a Mother's
that.
Day campaign. It's just getting fucking bizarre. They're like exotic, these jacked guys with their shirts off. Everyone's going crazy.
Ponying up for a little piece of the pie that I guess is it shrinking?
Well, I think
why are they getting so desperate?
I think as people become more health conscious,
but they still do like healthy choices now.
Well, that gets into this and this, but so Burger King has announced.
Also, I feel like people are getting unhealthier. Like, isn't the obesity epidemic only rising?
Yeah, it's true. So they feel that they're going after McDonald's as Happy Meal. I guess Burger King's like, I don't know. I don't know.
They must have something.
They must have like a kid's meal. I don't know what they call it.
There's no way that they just let the Happy Meal go for like 30 years and didn't retaliate in any way.
So their big thing is they're like, well, we're making our own thing for adults and no one's happy all the time, they said in a press release. So they're doing real meals. That's what they're dubbing them.
What is this shit?
You're able to order a Whopper-based meal box in a variety of different moods. And Happy is not one of them.
You go fuck yourself, Burger King. who's like, what is this? This is a mood ring of meals.
It's so stupid.
Oh, it's blue. I'm feeling sad.
So the mood options include pissed, blue.
Pissed? No, legit pissed?
Pissed.
It'll say pissed?
Yeah.
Like, give me a pissed meal?
Yeah. Like, oh, you want me to piss on
these guys gone rogue?
What if you have a guy who's foreign? He's like, oh, they want me to piss on the food. And they piss all over
I don't want
Whopper.
No piss.
Don't piss.
Don't piss on Whopper.
Oh, yeah. I love the piss. Yeah. More piss. I'm from Chocolate City.
These guys have gone off the rails. They've gone rogue.
Their marketing is, I don't know who's doing it.
Why don't they do crazy. Cunty? Feeling a little cunty today.
Yeah. Pissed, blue, salty. Yes. Y-A-S.
Dude, what focus group did they use for this?
They have DJAF. Don't give a fuck.
Oh, no way.
This is crazy.
I feel like Burger King's about ready to close down.
We should
go
in.
How in the fuck is this a thing?
We should go into Burger King if we had our up and running All Things Comedy show. We should.
My buddy's dad used to own 9 Burger Kings.
We should. If we had one, I would like to go in there on video and order a crazy horny.
Yeah.
Food box.
Yeah. Do you have a how hard is your rock hard cock meal?
That's the mood I'm in right now. Yeah. Is I want to know how hard your rock hard cock is.
Can I get a greasy asshole Happy Meal?
Can I get the anal pounder?
Dude, no way.
I'm going to get...
give me a cock whopper.
I'm going to get... I think I may be schizophrenic, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. Can I get the shit box?
Can I get a day after mushrooms? I'm feeling a little down.
Suicide Whopper?
It's so crazy.
It makes no sense. It seems
no
like such a fucking stretch. Like, it seems like such a... Like, I feel like they're on the cusp of bankruptcy because this seems like so extreme.
Like, if you told me, like, there was some sort of weird movie plot that, like, a child was somehow, like, left in a will and it took over, like, I wouldn't be shocked.
This is
like an 11-year-old is like, oh, I have ideas.
This is like that guy that worked at Paramount and his 4-year-old son created an idea for that movie, yeah. Monster Truck. What if there were real monsters in Monster Trucks?
Yeah.
And then they made the movie and it bombed terribly.
Like, maybe we shouldn't let 4-year-olds make movie decisions.
So is there a line of thinking like McDonald's is going to be for the kids and Burger King's going to be for the adults? Why don't they start putting titty meals? Like, or you get a
you can eat
it.
Eat them off. Somebody's or they serve them.
They're wrapped in porno paper.
Or like we are giving dildos away with every fifth Whopper.
Yep. Or they have a chocolate dildo dessert.
Why not you have a fucking mayonnaise dispenser that's shaped like a dick and it shoots out onto your burger? You want to go crazy? Let's go crazy.
What if you have to be 18 and over to even go in the drive-thru of Burger King?
There's like a beaded, the drive-thru bead. Yeah, it says
adults only. Like a porno theater or rental.
Can I get the DGAF? Can I get the DTF? I'm down to fuck right now, Whopper.
I'm down to food.
So stupid. What? And by the way, you know there are idiots who love this. Who are like, oh, I can't wait to go in there and order the DGAF.
I'm pissed. Give me that pissed meal.
Let me get that TGI Friday.
I feel bad for the employees because they're only opening themselves up for ridicule from high school kids at the drive-thru.
And shtick.
Yeah.
People doing shtick, fucking dads who are bored.
Shtick should be one. Shtick this in your ass.
Can I get trying to be morbidly obese? Can I get the Eric Heights?
Oh, dude, what a disaster.
It's insane. And so they couldn't for PR, they teamed up with the Mental Health America.
Yeah, who, the retarded mental health?
For Mental Health Awareness Month. They like to encourage people to be and feel their own way.
This sounds like they're mocking mental illness or health.
It's, they say with the pervasive nature of social media, there's so much pressure to appear happy and perfect. Is there? I don't think there is.
Hey, Burger King, why don't you keep your fucking dick out of my business, you piece of shit?
Yeah, I don't want you... Who cares? My mood has nothing to do with you. Dude, hungry is the only mood you should be concerned with.
They don't give a fuck about your mental health. They're there to sell burgers, you fucks.
You want to help mental health? Why don't you give free fucking food to people who have mental health problems?
I'll go in there. I'll be like, dude, I'm insane. Give me some fucking food.
Take the profits out of it and let's see how much you care about mental health. Get out of here.
It's a fucking promotion and you're like, well, no, we're here to help mental health. This has nothing to do with our bottom line.
This is also kind of indicative of where they're at. So this came on the heels of another big announcement, which they revealed that their plans to make it's called the Impossible Burger. And that's I just dropped
my mic on purpose because this is fucking stupid.
Plant-based Whopper. They're like, hey, vegetarians and vegans need our delicious shitty food.
I feel like the shit that they put in to make it taste like a... Because I had one of these once because I think it was the only thing... I think we bought one as an experiment. And the list of ingredients to make something taste like a burger must be way more harmful than actually eating a burger.
Here's what's, according to this, is what's in it. It's soy protein, coconut oil, and heme. Is that a typo? Is that hemp?
I don't know.
It's the plant-based.
But there's a lot of things they put in there to bond it and to give it texture and color.
Dog shit's one of them.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't believe it. Might be like the secretions from the anal gland of a beaver, like perfume.
On the way over here, I had NPR on for a minute. During the day, it can be hard to swallow some of their stuff. But
I like NPR listening to it because it enrages me. I'm sitting in there screaming. Sometimes I feel like Bill Burr and I would get along amazingly.
You should pull up next to each other. You're both screaming at the same...
That's fucking...
You listen to NPR? I'm listening to NPR too.
And then I come home and talk to Abby, and she's like, and then she'll be like, I can't take this anymore. You can't talk to me about stuff. Because I'm like, you know what I fucking heard on NPR? She's like, stop listening to NPR.
Just turn it off. You're like those people who like listen to Howard Stern to get enraged about like that.
Yeah.
It's pornographic. It's like, just stop listening.
40% of the stuff I actually enjoy. Like, I like hearing things about the business. I like hearing, but then the other 60% is just enraging.
So they were saying a company, they were talking about this very thing, about like these Del Taco, I think, one of the Mexican fast food places is doing a plant-based taco. They're like younger Americans they're worried about global warming and worried about blah, blah, blah.
I mean, but they don't eat hot tacos. I don't know.
That's the thing. It's like, don't eat fast food.
Also, fast food, I mean, you know what? If you want to do something good for the climate, stop wasting food. We waste a third of our fucking food.
Yeah. So they said this company that just went public, this like that makes veggie, this sort of shit. They said the stock went so fucking crazy right away that it's being evaluated at $3 billion. The company,
no way.
They're like, eventually it's going to come down.
Should have gotten in on that.
They're like, it's insane. They're like we have like... Very rarely do you see
once they announced like they were teaming with them to make these things.
I think that this is the company that like I guess is providing a lot of the these companies, and it just
who would have thought that the
went crazy.
One of the more volatile industries would be meat substitute manufacturers.
McDonald's, I guess, is not getting on board as of yet, but we'll see.
They'll succumb to the pressure.
But they said McDonald's is so much bigger in terms of like restaurants, and they like to do it. It would take like a long time. Like Burger King could roll it out faster.
I always felt like Burger King had an identity crisis. Like McDonald's was good. Wendy's was like always the third, but they were comfortable being the bronze.
Wendy's though, what they did well was like, yeah, they're like, we know what we are and who we cater. Like we're not going to try.
Like Burger King, McDonald's competed. Wendy's goes, I'll just take your leftovers, your sloppy thirds.
Remember when they were serving fucking baked potatoes in the 80s? They had the bar?
Their French fries were completely different. They had a fucking Frosty.
Yeah, they did their own shit.
Dave Thomas was brilliant.
He was doing square burgers. No one does the square burger. Yeah.
He wasn't chasing anybody. He was like, third place. I'm still making a pretty good living.
When McDonald's just had such good branding with Grimace and Ronald McDonald. Like, Burger King's never, they've always been looking for something like that.
They have the Burger King now.
Yeah, the shitty king with that stupid head and the crowns that idiots wear.
And the Whopper, it was always gross. I mean, they were all the burgers were gross.
The Whopper is a very specific.
It's juicy. It's very juicy.
It was a good point for.
Good time to walk in, talking about how juicy Whoppers are. My wife, who doesn't want to be mentioned on the podcast, just walked through the door.
I don't blame.
Do you want to say hi to people?
Hi.
We're going to alter her voice so you can't.
We're actually done in 2 minutes. We're just talking about how juicy Whoppers are. How do you feel about Whoppers going plant based? They have plant-based Whoppers, and also they're also doing mood. Instead of Happy Meals, they're doing mood meals. Pissed is one of them.
Yeah, don't give a it's just the same food. It says pissed on the outside.
With anger, I don't understand why.
They make it angrily.
It seems like a stretch, does it not?
I feel like it's a little bit of a stretch.
Okay, yeah.
It'll probably work, though, if people are stupid.
Well, that's contrary to our belief. We think they're going to go bankrupt.
The Whopper, for me, the downfall was just the very specific. It like kind of like you got like a hangover,
yeah. Yes.
And the taste, and you like the, it's a weird lingering.
Because I think it was different than the Big Mac, because I felt like they were trying to top the Big Mac, the Whopper. So they just loaded more sauces and like piled it higher.
Yeah, it's very sloppy.
Yeah. Like the Big Mac's McDonald's, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like the Big Mick from McDaniels from Coming from to America.
McDowell's?
McDowell's, excuse me. McDaniels. Same thing. Someone should open a McDowell's. They do a pop-up shop at Fat Sal's in Hollywood.
I can't. You know, because they're going to do Coming to America 2. I guess it's in production starting.
Sounds crazy.
I don't know how it's going to work out, but I hope McDowell's is like now a national franchise.
It's going to be great or terrible. Louis Anderson, I hope, reprises his role.
I hope he reprises his role, but as his role in Baskets.
But you could do his role in Baskets, but he's still washing the lettuce.
Yeah.
But now as a woman.
But now he's trans.
Yeah, which would be great.
That'd be fucking fun. His character in Baskets, one of the greatest characters of the past decade.
It's such a great comeback late in
Kenny
career.
Powers, Louis Anderson in Baskets, and
Stevie from
Stevie Janowski
from Eastbound and Down.
I mean, three of the greatest TV characters of all, up there with Michael Scott from The Office and fucking Kramer from Seinfeld.
B. Arthur from Golden Girls. Was her name Dorothy?
Dorothy, I think so. All right. There's
a Golden Cruise, Golden Girls boat cruise you can go on now.
Is it
so crazy how like these specific like who? I would guess people would go on that.
Have they ever done a prequel to Golden Girls? I brought this up to somebody. They're like, "You should do that." I go, "Yeah, because I have the rights to the Golden Girls." And also,
I guess like Sex in the City would probably. Be
close. People, I think it's put like that
inspired by.
I think that people, yeah.
I don't know who's who. I don't know. People,
I was like, there's got to sure be
people
somebody
probably
have
done
tried
articles
it.
On it, like who's which. Yeah, we should do an all black Little People version of prequel of Golden Girls.
We should do a sequel to Little People, Big World.
We should do a prequel. How Matt met Amy.
This is like before he's in the wheelchair, before he's using the crutches.
You show him at the conventions when he's tearing it up, and then he meets her, and his friends are like, "Hey man, you know, used to be fun. Now you're kind of lame. I met a woman. I'm gonna settle down. I'm gonna build a pirate ship."
Dude, Matt Roloff should. People that are complaining like, "I can't get a job. I'm not getting paid enough for. I'm lazy." They should look at Matt Roloff. Here's a guy. He's
Eric
in a
Heitz.
Fucking wheelchair.
Eric Heitz should look at Roloff.
He's a major success.
He wears his red sweater. He's
major
got a
fucking success.
Before we get out of here, happy birthday to Jake. Happy 19th birthday to Kieran.
Whoa, and Kieran.
Not the same.
You're a little young to be listening to the show, but happy birthday.
He's old enough. He's 19 now. He's a man. Emerson sent a sweet picture of himself with GSP. He played baseball at McGill in Canada. GSP went to an event that I guess team was at.
That's cool.
Claims he spoke to him in a Nick Diaz voice the whole time. I don't know if I believe that or not. He said GSP seemed odd.
I can see GSP. This is very strange.
Is this your real voice, or are you doing this as a character? So yeah, Emerson. He said he sent it to me before. I don't recall ever seeing it.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
I apologize if I did see it.
Also, listen to Beach Cops.
Episode 11.
Oh, hold on. I have to read something as a promotion for Beach Cops.
Is it from Beardo? He had a great tweet about it.
He had a great tweet for sure. And this was on Reddit, I found. Hang
okay.
on.
O'Neill's walking away. I'm alone. I'm terrified. Right now, I feel like Ron Burgundy when he was fed the wrong information on the teleprompter.
This is from the Reddit subreddit that is the Danish and O'Neill subreddit that somebody started a while ago. Somebody asked a question. Hey, I'm considering joining the Patreon to listen to the podcast. I was wondering what they cover and if it's similar to the D&O podcast. And a bunch of people wrote back. It's like Boner City 2.0. But one of my favorites was... This guy wrote, it takes a physical toll on your mind and body. That's not an exaggeration. Everyone here will back that up.
It sounds like they love it. Here's what Beardo has to say on Twitter. Beach Cops number 11 has the best and most plentiful farts of any podcast I've ever heard. Big congrats to Zach Lunch, Danish and O'Neill, and DeWitty. So if that doesn't intrigue you, I mean, that's saying a lot. There have been some, the last couple episodes, and I tell Courtney when I go home, she doesn't listen to the show, so she's like, doesn't really, she's like, what is it, like, what are you doing there?
I don't know what we're doing, I don't know how to describe it.
So I've tried to describe it, and then I said, I've been telling her about the increase in fart volume, and frequency, and she's like, doesn't it smell? And I was like, yeah, it's a small room, it gets hot in there.
It gets real, it's hot right now. Dude, it is... We can't do 3 hours. The last
in the
episode
summer
11
months,
was 3
summer
hours.
Summer months, one of us may die recording Beach Cops.
Well, he's got that AC.
Yeah, he doesn't
turn it on for
he's
summer.
He's like, yeah, I have central air. And it's like, yeah, we
you have it, but it's just there as a prop because you're not using it.
They want to turn it on.
The last one was 3 hours long.
Yeah.
And at the end, it got so insane. I don't think we could do 3 hours anymore.
I might start taking...
Two to two and a half is our sweet spot.
I might have to take a Lyft or an Uber there because when I get out, I feel like I almost can't... I'm not drinking. I'm not doing any drugs.
You know what we should do? We got to do a drinking one.
Yeah, to get real crazy.
Like maybe Tuesday.
Does Andy D drink?
Yeah, remember he's drinking...
Oh, yeah, he'll drink there.
Whiskey there.
We should have him...
I mean, you don't have to... It doesn't have to be beer.
Should have some of his... What is it? Kratom? Whatever.
I'm going to drink some wine. Everyone needs to drink something completely different to give them a different buzz.
I'm going
to
drink malt liquor and just get fucking crazy.
You'll hate yourself the next day. Crappy malt liquor.
Remember we drank Steel Reserve with John Little and we got... It was a crazy...
We should do one where we all smoke pot, one where we all drink, one where we all do something else.
Heroin.
That'd be like... Oh, yeah. It would just be a bunch of mellow dudes sitting there fucking spacing out.
Man. All right. Well, there it is. Another episode in the books. Hopefully, we see you guys June 20th.
I like these day casts, kind of.
Yeah, we should start doing morning
casts. Spice them up. I wouldn't mind a morning cast. Not bright and early. I guess this is noon, but...
Yeah.
It's
early for us.
Yeah. Might as well be a morning cast.
All right, everybody. Have a good week. And that's been pre-show, post-talk, post-talk.
You're going to have to write that down because I don't know.
Yeah, I lost myself. All right. Let's get out of here.
Wagon!